Blog Talk Radio.
We're here live tonight again, and another live different talk show. Yeah, it really is live. And we do it more than we talk about it, that's for sure. That's what we love about it, that we can do it more than we talk about it. We have the right to do that. Nobody stops us. Nobody tells us what to do. We just prophesy. We pray. We do whatever we think God is leading us to do. It's really a lot of like nice freedom the Lord has given us. So we're so thankful for that, grateful for that. Keep praying for the studio. We're talking with the real estate people and working on things, getting more bids, more bids on the electrical stuff, all that. So be praying about that with us. All right. Hopefully everybody's doing good. If you are, that's really nice. And if you're not doing so well, you're having a hard time, we're going to pray for you and believe God with you to, you know, help you in whatever you need help with. So could be anything. So praise God. All right. All right. Call to the show, 319-527-6027 is the number. And you can call that number and make sure to click on 1. As soon as it's the automated voice says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, that little sweet lady, whoever she is, automated voice, click 1 on your phone and you'll get in the prayer queue. And that's what you do all week long. We're praying for everybody, everything's going on. We're always believing God to minister to people, give them something that they can live off of. We live off every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we live off that. And if you're not living off that, what are you living off of? We need to ask that question, I think. What are we living off of if we're not living off every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? In other words, it's not just a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not just a bunch of laws out of the mouth of God. And so the sooner we get a hold of that and the sooner we start doing that and finding out what that is for us, the better off we're going to be, because that's how we live. Some people don't live off every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They're not really interested in that. They really think it's all just about going to church and having religion and, you know, giving some money and helping some people and being nice, and that's all, you know, fine stuff. But, you know, how do they live? They don't live. They really don't live. I mean, they're alive, but they don't really live in the spirit. They don't really live in the realm where God is a relationship, where God is a fellowship, where God is, you know, the beauty of loving him, and him, especially him loving us, more him loving us even than us loving him. He does a lot better job of loving than we could ever do. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? And so whoever believes won't perish, but have life. So what's that life about? Is that just about going to heaven? No, it's about now you can know his voice. You know, you learn how to hear his voice in different ways. And you, when you learn to do that and you start living off of that, then you live. You really live. I mean, you come alive and you stay alive. A lot of people come alive, they get born again, and they fellowship with the Lord. They don't even realize that he's talking to them. They just think it's, you know, a feeling, and God, when God speaks, it does bring a feeling, right? I don't know, when God speaks to you, does it bring a feeling? Sometimes, a lot of times it does. Let me tell you something. If you're a loved one, one of your children or your husband or wife or parent, whoever it is, friend, just really says something that's sincere from their heart, and you see the beauty of it, all you're hearing is words, but what does it do? It makes you feel something, right? You feel something. So, you know, you feel alive. You feel like, wow, that was beautiful. I felt that. I can feel that touched me. because it's a living word. It's a word that it's not just, oh, hi, I love you, how are you, okay, good to see you. Have a wonderful day, bye. You know, hey, what are we talking about? We're talking about, you know, every day we can know the voice of God and learn to live off of it. Because when you're not getting the Word of God, when all you're getting is, you know, you can have somebody passionately read the Word of God to you, you know, just passionately read to you, but it's kind of like, you know, it's the written Word, you know, it's cool, it's great, it's awesome, we got to have it for sure. It keeps us on track. But when it comes alive to you and starts speaking something to you and you start going, yeah, now I can feel that. You know, I'm not talking about feelings in the flesh. I'm talking about, you know, you feel love. When you get love, when God tells you, I love you, it comes with, many times it comes with feeling. It comes with, God doesn't say, I love you without passion, because he's full of passion. That's why he wants us to be hot or cold. If we get lukewarm, what's lukewarm? Lukewarm is, hi, how are you doing? I hope all is well with you and your family. Sound like a sick John Wayne, doesn't it? So when somebody, you know, really cares, they don't have to say it really cute or anything. It's just it's the spirit behind what they're saying and how they're saying it. And you see that they really care, that they really mean it, that there's something behind that. What does it make you do? It makes you feel comforted. It makes you feel, you feel something. Even if you don't feel it, goosebumps. Maybe if you don't feel goosebumps, your emotional realm feels things. Your emotional realm, you know, goes, oh, yeah, you know, I felt that. And you didn't get goosebumps. You didn't feel good in your body. But, you know, the Holy Spirit just, you know, when he breathes on you, something happens. Something goes on. And so it's really, really cool how we live off every word that comes out of the mouth of God. All right, let's go here and hang on a second. Okay. All right. So we're talking about living off every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Where's that scripture at? I haven't looked it up. I don't know. Let me look it up. All right, hang on a second here. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right, you can hear me. I'm just Googling it. No shame, no pain. Okay. Let's go here. Okay, I'm going somewhere. Yeah, as you can tell, I didn't come prepared for this. I can always tell. All right, here it is. I love this stuff, man. Here we got some cool numbers. Matthew 4:4 more. All right, Jesus answered. Let me read the whole thing here. Let's read a little bit more of it. 4:4. Let's go through to the English Standard Version. 4:4. All right, he's talking to Satan, and he's being tempted. Man shall not live by bread alone, it is written, he says, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Wow, it comes from the mouth of God. So, you know, I know that the word of God came from the mouth of God, right? There's no question about that. That's what we're reading here. That came from the mouth of God through a person, through Jesus, sometimes through prophets. But there's something that, you know, when the word comes alive inside of you, and if you know that it comes with personalness to it, it comes with emotional strength, it empowers you, it gives you the ability to have peace in your emotional realm, in your mental state, where you're able to have peace, and you're able to go, wow, you know, he is really with me. He spoke that to me somehow in my spirit through the word, through a prophet, through a teacher, through a television show, whatever the thing was, and he spoke to me. And that's what I love about the prophetic, y'all, because we can be right here and speak to people personally, the prophetic word of the Lord, and comfort people right now. And, you know, if you've been around long enough, you know that, this is not – I'm going to read this stuff off of anything, really. Every once in a while, I'll catch a glimpse of a word here and there on something, but as far as the whole thing, it's just spontaneous. And sometimes I'll get one word and get that one word, and that one word goes into this whole realm of just speaking to God's people personally about how he loves them, how he cares about them, how they got – you know, where they're going, what's happening, what's not happening, how to get it, how to go there. And it's personal, and it's very personal. This is what's so powerful about the prophetic and why I think that God's going to use it in such a powerful way in the last days. And so when you get a word proceeding from the mouth of God, that means that it is proceeding toward you. It is coming toward you. It's for you. You're getting it. You're grasping it. It's you're taking it personal. And that's why the proceeding out of the mouth of God word is so powerful, because it comes right to you. It's for you. And it energizes your emotional realm. It energizes your mental realm. It energizes your will, so that you can choose every day to go, God, you know, yeah, I'm going through a lot, but I choose to serve you. Yes, I'm going through a lot. All hell's breaking loose. But you know what? Like Job said, yet though you slay me, I will praise you. I will praise you. How did Job do that? He had a relationship with God. He knew how to drink from the word of God. He knew how to drink from the Spirit of God. He knew how to do that. And friend, that's what you and I have to learn to do, because proceeding means that it's coming at you. It's coming for you. And so, you know, when you start seeing that it's the purpose of it coming to you personally, then you can begin to understand why it's so important, especially in the prophetic realm, where it's not just about personally prophesying to people, though it's extremely important. The Bible says despise not prophesying. Why would he say, you know, I don't know where he just says despise anything else. I don't know whether he ever talks about despising much of anything else. I don't know. You can look it up. We need to look that up. I haven't looked it up yet, but I can't remember anything that he ever says, don't despise this. And what did you say about the prophetic? Don't despise the prophetic. Prophesying. Don't despise it. Why? Because the enemy is such a strategic thing to feed and minister to people, to God's people personally. It's the proceeding word of the Lord. And it proceeds out of the mouth of God in a spontaneous fashion, where it's not just me reading the scripture to you, and maybe you'll get something out of it, maybe you won't, which can happen, but it is literally, for you personally. It's coming to you personally. It's hitting you personally. Like sometimes I'll be doing even not personal prophecy, but just general prophetic words and information and word of knowledge, that kind of thing. And people, many times, it still happens time and time again, people instantly text me and say, yeah, that's for me. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's me, Randy. That's me. The Lord speaking to you about me. And I'm going, yeah, what was that? That was a word proceeding out of the mouth of God. And so that's why it's so important, friend, and that's why the enemy tries to – so it's amazing, because I live in this realm, right? I know more about it than most people do, as far as – because I live here. I've been living here for a long time. I know how people – always come up with something the enemy gives them. Oh, I don't really need that. I don't really need prophecies. I don't really need that. I mean, it is major, major, big time, and more than you realize. And so that's why I think that the Word of God says, don't despise prophesying. Don't despise the prophetic. Don't despise it, because people say, oh, I'm not despising it. I just don't really think I need it. That's despising it. That's despising. You're despising. People are despising the very gift of God, the very personal. It's one of the most personal ministries other than prayer that I've ever seen. It's one of those personal, powerful things that speaks to people personally. And it's not just a once-a-month thing or once-a-year thing. It's like the Lord Jesus talking to you. That's what the prophetic is. It doesn't mean that I'm Jesus, of course. Are you kidding me? I'm Randy. You know, you're not Jesus. You're whoever you are. But when you're prophesying to people and it's the Spirit of God, you know, it's It's the Lord speaking. It's the Lord talking to you. It's like, oh, the Lord only talks to us about once a year. That's all you need to talk to the Lord personally. The rest of the time, just read the laws and the word. That's all you need, you know, which is exactly the opposite of what God says. Exactly the opposite. So you see why the enemy wants to despise it? Because it's one of the most powerful ways of building people's faith. One of the most powerful ways of building people's faith. And so the sooner we get a hold of that, and I think I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, right? Preaching to the choir tonight. But I'm also releasing into the atmosphere things that are going on. And I'm exposing them and breaking them down. The sword of the Lord goes through my mouth. So that's my job. That's the calling that I have. So when I'm speaking things, you're going, yeah, you talked about that before. I know. But sometimes when the Spirit of God wants me to say something, it's because the sword of the Lord is going into action over the airways. So maybe sometimes maybe a little bit more understand why sometimes I repeat things or say things about the prophetic, because many times it is the sword, literally the sword of the Lord going forth, doing warfare against what the enemy is doing in the atmosphere and disarming it. It's like, you know, one of the words that did that was when we spoke the word about Hillary Clinton, and I had to bring up the sword of the Lord and hindering the Antichrist, and you guys remember that. And so Hillary Clinton was running for president, and the Lord told me specifically that she was going to be taken out. They were going to take her out. They are going to take her out. That's what he told me. And sure enough, whoever they were, we don't know exactly, but they took her out. She was taken out of the way. And for 4 years, we had Trump. And so we need to be thankful for that. We had Trump when we did. And know that God gave us a little bit of grace there. And now it's time to move on to greater things, not the worst things, but greater things. And so, you know, so that word came forth like a sword. That was a sword that was spoken about Hillary Clinton. The Lord spoke it through me. He said, they are going to take her out. And that's exactly what they did. They spent 3 years in the news cycles, 3 years in the news cycles, talking about the Russia collusion and who took Hillary out. We talked about that a little bit before. You remember that, right? That went on for 3 years. It was exactly the word that God gave us. So it's amazing. The word of the Lord is amazing, friend. And so we got to keep our eye on what God is doing instead of what people say about what God is doing. And hear what God is doing. Now, a lot of people say what they think God's doing, but the word of the Lord comes forth through the prophets and speaks what God is actually doing, not what he wants to do. Teachers teach what God wants to do. Prophets prophesy what's going to happen. That's the way it really goes. So when you hear people saying, yeah, we're just telling what God wants to do, you know, well, okay, that's a teacher. That's not a prophet. That's a teacher. Teachers teach what God wants. He wants us to live right. He wants us to live with him. He wants to end abortion. He wants to be for Israel. He wants all these things. But when a prophet speaks, a prophet will tell you Donald Trump is not going to be the next president of the United States. Yeah. And so, you know, it's the word of the Lord, not what we know what God wants. He wants us to love everybody. He wants to do anything. But that's not what happens sometimes in the spirit. God just tells us what's going to happen. And it's different than what God wants. You know, God doesn't get what he wants always because things get hindered, things happen. And the ultimate God gets what he wants, of course. In the end, all of it turns back to God. But in between, men make choices. And so all kinds of things going on. But anyway, all right, so one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was Joseph. I want to talk a minute about Joseph and how when it seems like everything's going wrong, everything's going backwards. This is the word I got today. I wrote it down in my notes so I wouldn't forget to talk about it. How that Joseph, had... Because like him, have you ever felt like, oh, I wished I wouldn't have said that or done that because that might have been the thing that took me into this place that I'm at. Somehow, something went wrong, and now I'm in the wrong place with the wrong people, and I can't seem to get out of it. I can't seem to break free of it. I can't seem to move past this and go toward what I believe God wants me to do. Right? There's that, what I believe God wants me to do. Most of the time, what people believe God wants them to do, many times, it's not that at all. Joseph had a dream. He had two dreams, major, major dreams from God, things you never forget. And one of them was his brother's going to bow down to him, the sheaves. They're going to bow down to his sheaves. And then he had another one where the sun, moon, and stars, 11 stars, were going to bow down to him, including the sun and the moon. And so God spoke to him and then talked about it with his brothers, which they already hated him. And then that kind of sealed the deal. And so all of a sudden, you know, right after God spoke to Joseph, and Joseph was all excited about how, oh, my gosh, you know, this is the land of God, the land of Canaan. My grandfather walked the land. He took the land in the spirit. It's ours. And now we're going to just be here, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be the ruler. I'm going to be like the ruler of Canaan, of the Israeli people, of Jacob's, because he was a Jacob's child. I'm going to be the ruler of Israel over Jacob's children. And so, you know, that's what his dream was. That's what he interpreted the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, that didn't work because now I'm not there. I'm not even there. I'm not around my family. Everything took a bad turn. Everything took a bad turn. And now it was just the opposite of what I thought was going to happen. Just the opposite. And now here I am, stuck in this place that I can't get out of. And everything has gone backwards. But you know what? Even though Joseph felt like that, even though he thought that, even though he, I'm sure, criticized himself and condemned himself even, saying, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Because he didn't even think he was doing anything wrong. He just thought, you know, he just tells the truth. The man, by God, you just tell the truth, and you tell the vision God gave the vision. It belongs to Israel, and you just gave it to Israel. You know, I mean, he didn't even see anything wrong with that until he grew up a little bit and he started realizing, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. And so God began to do all kinds of things in him. And one of the big things was that he felt like a total failure, that he was completely out of the will of God. Completely, somehow, he got out of the will of God. How do you do that when you have a great calling in your life? How do you get out of the will of God when, you know, everything that's, you have favor with your father, he loves you more than your brothers, Israel's called, you know, a special people and in the earth, and God had chosen them, and, you know, so here I am, I'm going to be one of the main rulers. Praise God. And then all of a sudden, my life gets turned around, and I'm going the actual opposite of what I thought I would be doing. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, sometimes that's exactly what happens. But you know what? It was all wrong. Joseph was wrong. What he felt was wrong. It wasn't right. He wasn't out of the will of God. And you can tell that he understood you know, that things got messed up because, you know, he really believed things got messed up. How do we know he believed things got messed up? Well, simply because later on in life, he said that what Satan meant for evil. Remember that? He said what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. So in other words, Satan really did mean it for evil. And so we see that he understood that things kind of got messed up. They got messed up. How did they get messed up? Because you see it right there. The reason I know that is because it says that later on he learned that what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. So you know that he was thinking Satan was messing with him. You ever feel like Satan's messing with you? Got you out there in the middle of nowhere's land and you can't do anything about it. You seem like you're stuck. can't get out of it? Well, friend, Joseph was the same way. The wrong place at the wrong time. The people who he was around didn't understand him. Didn't understand him. They didn't understand his God, and he was around foreign gods. Everything he was around was foreign. It was exactly backwards. He's supposed to rule over his people, not over a bunch of heathens, not over a bunch of Egyptians. So you see that he knew that it got messed up because he said Satan was involved in messing up my life. But at the same time, he realized, so maybe you thought the same thing, Satan is trying to mess up my life. Yeah, that's what Joseph said. But Satan meant for evil. So does Satan mean what you're going through for evil? Absolutely. And God's crying out to you, saying, listen to Joseph tonight. Listen to Joseph tonight. And yet the whole thing, God meant it for good. How could his dream come to pass in Egypt? Outside the place of where his brothers were bowed. His brothers couldn't bow down to him in Egypt. They couldn't bow. How could they bow down to him in Egypt? So how could this happen? So I've got to be out of the will of God. I've got to be back where my brothers are in order for this thing to happen. So Satan has really messed me up. My brother's not around. They're not going to bow down. My father's not around. Nobody's around. I don't have any favor anymore. I'm around a bunch of strangers. The very vision that I had, that God showed me his favor, wasn't happening. I'm out of the will of God. I'm messed up. And then all of a sudden, God starts, not all of a sudden, through a process of things, God would little by little show him to just be faithful to him. God didn't let him out of that, friend. He didn't let him go back to that place where he thought he belonged. God didn't stop what appeared that Satan was messing up. God didn't stop it. God didn't turn it around. You want to turn around? Joseph wanted to turn around. Where's my turnaround at, God? Where's my turnaround at, God? Where's my turnaround? Where's my turnaround? Where's my breakthrough? And if he had got in that spirit and stayed there, just like you and I can sometimes, where's my turnaround? Where's my turnaround? His turnaround wasn't the kind of turnaround that God had in mind. The turnaround he had was, get me back to where my brothers are, because that's where the vision is going to come to pass. How can they bow down to me here in Egypt, in Potiphar's house? It can't happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. He was there for like 15 or 20 years himself. My turnaround. And his turnaround had to do with turning him around and marching him back in Daddy's arms. March me back in Daddy's arms again. That wasn't what God wanted. So the more he prayed for the turnaround, guess what happened? He went from one circumstance that seemed bad to one that was worse, because the turnaround that he got was turned right around and got closer to Pharaoh, got closer to Egypt, and got put in prison. So when you're praying for a turnaround, friend, what do you think you're praying for? You're praying for to go be put in prison in Egypt so you can get close to the king's men and all those Egyptians, so you can rule Egypt, and then your brothers come down. Because God had it all mapped out. And the more you pray, oh, God, turn it around, turn it around. Oh, Jesus, won't you turn it around? Turn it around, turn it around. Oh, Jesus, won't you turn it around? Get me back to my daddy. Get me back to Canaan land where my brothers and my family are. Oh, God. And God's caught going, yeah, you're going to get it. I'm going to answer part of your prayer. I'm going to give you a turnaround, all right. You're getting your turnaround. You're going to turn around. You're going to get turned right around. About that time, Potiphar's wife sets him up and lies about him and gets him thrown into his turnaround. Oh, you just got thrown into your turnaround, thrown into prison for many more years. God, get me closer to it. Oh, I'm not close. Get me close. I feel like I'm close to my breakthrough. Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm close to my breakthrough. Do you feel it, Brother Chandler? Yes, I feel it with you. I feel you're close to your breakthrough. And the next day, Potiphar's wife comes in and says, you know, he tried to rape me. And Potiphar says, off you go. You're getting closer. Your breakthrough has come. Hallelujah. Yeah, you forgot. God, I mean, I thought I was getting closer to my breakthrough. Now I'm just right next to, you know, Pharaoh's court, but I'm in prison in Pharaoh's court. I wanted to be closer to my breakthrough, Daddy. What's going on around here? I thought I was, I just felt okay. So he got discouraged. He got down. Oh, my God, what's going on? This is horrible. This is horrific. Dear God, you know, I thought I felt getting closer and closer to my breakthrough. And then up popped this woman, and off I went to being closer to my breakthrough than I ever knew. Joseph didn't realize that what he was feeling was exactly right, except it just wasn't happening the way he thought it was going to happen. He was getting closer to his breakthrough by moving closer to Pharaoh, by getting in Pharaoh's prison, which it was a special prison for the prisoners of the court of Pharaoh. You're special, all right, Joseph. Yeah, and you just had a breakthrough, man. You didn't know it, but you just had a breakthrough, boy. Thank you. Congratulations. Great job. Your prayers are working. But in Joseph's terms, it's going like, I just got further away. Oh, my God, it's just the opposite. Everything's backwards. Everything's going wrong. What's happening? This is not right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's just getting worse. I just can't handle anymore. It's just getting worse. I just feel like giving up. I just feel like quitting. Had a vision, had a prophetic dream. I don't even want anything to do with the prophetic anymore. Those prophetic dreams are pathetic. How can I rule my household, my brothers, when I'm in Egypt and they're not anywhere to be found? It just was all backwards. It just was all wrong. Everything. And it got worse. He's praying, believing for the breakthrough, getting closer to my breakthrough. I'm close to my breakthrough, Brother Chandler. I can feel it. You feel it? Yeah. You have any prophetic dreams ready? Yeah. I'm going to get closer to my prophetic breakthrough. Boom. And you get, seems like, move the opposite direction. What's up with that? Well, it's called the Joseph scenario. God said, you don't understand my ways. You cry for a breakthrough. You're believing for a breakthrough. And the only thing that gets broken through is your heart. That's what gets broken through is your heart. That's what gets broken is your will. The thing that gets broken is your will. Joseph was an extremely strong-willed individual. And everything that seemed that Satan had gotten in and gotten out of control and moved him further and further away from his dream and his vision, now he's locked up in a little place. He can't get out of it. He's stuck there basically, can't go anywhere, can't do anything much, and he's just sitting there going, okay, God, I guess it just ain't going to happen. Well, that's how I feel when you feel that way. I mean, I don't know if I'd last as long as he did. It's amazing. The man was amazing. He had to be amazing. But he was very human. I feel like there's somebody I'm talking to tonight. I mean, I just got this message just today, just before he got to me. He said, oh, I've got somebody I want to speak to tonight, Randy. Will you give him this message? I said, yeah, I will. I'll give it to him. Friend, if this is you tonight, Listen, do not give up. Keep serving Jesus. Keep giving your life to God. Keep doing the best with what you've gotten, and use the gifts God's given you, even if it's in a, even if it's in among a bunch of bums and thieves, even if it's a bunch of around a bunch of crooks. Yeah, yeah. That's what Joseph was surrounded with. Was he wasn't exactly? It wasn't exactly the cream of the crop. It was the cream of the crop, right? It was the cream of the crop. Of the bad. It was the they were bad to the bone, but not bad to the bone good, bad to the bone bad. And there he was around in the prison, Pharaoh's prison, a special prison for special people. He was with the special people because he always felt like he was special, right? His daddy told him he was special. My mama used to tell me I was special. I knew what that meant. I knew that it had nothing to do with special, like really awesome. It was like, you're a special boy, Randy. Yeah. That's right. I'm real special, mommy. Hallelujah. Yeah, and I hang around with, I used to hang around with this really special people too. Yeah. A bunch of druggos and, you know, I mean, it's just crazy, man. The cream of the crop, all right, but anyway, not the cream of the crop, but my mom and daddy considered cream. Well, that's what Joseph was hanging around, friend. Sometimes it just doesn't look like it's supposed to. It just doesn't seem to be working like you want it. And yet, he really was moving closer to his destiny. The worse it got for him, God was looking at it like, I'm getting you closer now. I'm getting you real close, son. Get ready. Get ready. Go. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Because pretty soon you're gonna be in that place. You're gonna be right there. You're gonna be breaking through. You're gonna be in position. I'm positioning you. And the whole time Joseph's going like, man, I thought I was getting closer, and now I'm just getting further away. And God was looking at it just the opposite, right? Because he knew what God. God knew what he had positioned him for and what was going to go on. And the shock that was going to hit Joseph when it happened was going to be amazing. So what did he do? He just kept using his gifts. He interpreted the gifts of a couple of Pharaoh's head waiter and baker and whatever, and his servants, and gave him a correct interpretation to a dream. And one of them got to take off, like Joseph said, in 3 days, and the other one got raised up, just like you said, in 3 days. Came to pass precisely. It's amazing. He's being used of God, and he says, don't forget me, when he walked off, like, you know, don't forget me. So you know he wasn't just happy he was in prison. He wasn't happy. Okay, I think I'm going to be here the rest of my life. Yeah, I've learned to live in prison with all the prison people. Oh, this is awesome. Yeah, hallelujah. No, he said, don't forget me, because he wanted out of there. And pretty soon he was. Soon and very soon, you are going to see your breakthrough. Soon and very soon, you're going to see the king. The king. I'm talking about Pharaoh the king. Soon you're going to see the king, Joseph. He wasn't talking about Jesus either, or the Father. He was talking about King Pharaoh, right? Yeah. Then he saw the king, all right, and he sat right next to him, and he trusted him because he'd been trying him all this time, just like all of our other friends who were tested. Amen. Job was tested to the hilt. And he said, "Yet though you slay me, yet will I praise you." Friend, I don't know what you're going through, but believe God tonight. Just keep serving and be faithful, be loyal to him. Quit trying to break out of prison. Some of you are trying to break out of prison. I can see it right there. Yeah, you're trying to break out of prison. You imagine if Joseph would have tried to, okay, God, give me a plan to break out of prison. And I'll get a horse and I'll ride real hard all the way back to my homeland where I belong. God, I'll get back. I'll just break out of prison. Some of you are trying to break out of prison. You're trying to break out. Well, I don't advise it. Don't break out of prison, friend. whatever prison you feel like you're in, whatever thing you're in that's got you locked in, you feel hopeless and going nowhere. Nothing's happening. Because that's the process God brings you through to raise you up. Doesn't seem like it, doesn't feel like it. You can tell Joseph never gave up, because when the baker walked out that day, when the Pharaoh had raised him up, he said, "Don't forget me." You can hear in his voice that he was ready to come forth. Hallelujah. I loosen you today to yield to the Father. I loosen you today, yes, to want to get out of there, but not to break out. Let God bring you out. Don't break out on your own. Joseph would have broke out of prison, got a horse, took off running. They would have got him, put him right back, would have delayed the process. God does not want to break you out of your prison, not this one. But yearn for him to draw you out. Yearn for him to bring you forth. And finally one day, they came and got him. He said, "Joseph, Pharaoh's had a dream. He wants you to interpret it." He said, "Well, only if God allows me will I do it." He was so broken. He was so yielded. He was so ready. He was not childless, prideful anymore. And that innocent, childless pride, childhood pride. Now he was broken and ready. Are you broken and ready? Don't break out of prison, friend. Praise him. Just like Peter. You know how God broke Peter out of prison? He didn't get an escape plan for him and whoever else he was with, Paul and Silas and Peter and whoever he was with. Peter and I can't remember what his name was. No, he began to praise him. He broke loose and he said, he began to praise God with his chains on. He didn't try to break loose and, you know, get himself out of there. He began to praise God. He was surprised when he got broken out of prison. All of a sudden, he ended up, you know, preaching not long after that, because the prison doors opened up. We praise. Not be trying to break out. We praise in thanksgiving. It's God doing the work. Hallelujah. All right, let's start saying let's take callers. We're not going to take callers right now. We are going to take communion. So get your communion ready. Let's do that. If you're, you know, I've been telling you I'm going to pray over. I have a little container here of communion that I use, one of these little cups with the bread in it, and that I use most every Thursday. I have one that I haven't opened. I'm praying over it. I'm believing God for if he wants to turn that into the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. I'm praying over it. The last couple of days I've been praying over it. I pick it up and pray over it. Pick it up and pray over it. And doing that over and over and over again. And I don't know how long I'm going to do it exactly, but I'm believing God that if that's going to literally turn to the body of Jesus and the blood of Christ, that God will do it for me. I really believe that that's, you know, if that's what he wants to do. Or he's going to show me what it means. How his body does, how this bread does turn to his body, and how this juice or whatever you drink does turn into his blood, how that works. So I can tell the body of Christ exactly how it works, because I think it's extremely important. I'm just letting you know what I'm doing. I've been doing that now for a couple of days. That's my test. I thought the best way to find out whether it turns into his body literally physically before we put it in our mouth or afterwards or however it is. So I'm praying over it. I don't know how long I'm going to pray, maybe a month, maybe a week, maybe dream. I don't know how long I'm going to pray over it. But I'm going to pray over it until I get a release. And then if I see something happening to it, because I'm not even opening the package, I'm leaving it in the package where it's sealed and praying over it and praying over it and praying over it. And if it starts looking different, I'm going to take it to a scientist, take it somewhere and have it tested. And I'm going to bring documentation myself as a prophet, as a servant of God, and prove if that's what it is, that I will be able to prove it. Somehow I know as we eat it and drink it, it turns to the body and blood of Jesus. How? I don't know. I'm not sure. But I know it does. or Jesus wouldn't say it. Let's open up our Bibles if we can, and let's go here at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul the Apostle said, "For I received of the Lord." That's the part we're going to read. All right, let's lift up the bread tonight. Lord, we just lift it up tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for your communion night. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat the body, friend. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks, O God, for your body tonight, for the bread, for the manna from heaven. Now we lift up the cup in the same way. Also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, God, for your body and your blood. Lord Jesus, reveal to us what that means, exactly what that means for us in 2021, like it did for you the day you lifted up the bread and broke it. When your body was lifted up on the cross and you gave your life. Hallelujah. The bread was broken. We partake of your body, Jesus. We drink of your blood. And we thank you, Lamb of God, for your precious, precious food. You said your body is food and drink. You said your blood is drink indeed. In John chapter 6, hallelujah. Lord, I believe it's real food. Just like alcohol, one drink of alcohol activates our genes to be inflamed with passion for alcohol. One physical, literal drink of something activates the genetic code in us, if you have that gene, to make you turn into an alcoholic who can't control himself. If that can do that, then somehow eating your body and drinking your blood activates the very nature, the very body, the very blood activates when we eat it, when it connects with our bodies. We literally connect to the salvation of Jesus Christ, of our risen Lord. Hallelujah. The suffering Christ and the risen Lord. We eat and we drink the food. It's like they say, the scientists say, that when you eat broccoli, broccoli has a chemical makeup that your genetic code, your genes get activated to bring health to your body. How much more the body and the blood of Jesus activate life in you, activate healing in you, activate deliverance in you, activate whatever thing Jesus did when he walked in the earth for 3.5 years. He healed, delivered, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, forgave sins, rose the dead. Hallelujah, friend. In Jesus' name, I loosen your body to receive the body and the blood of Yeshua. That everything he did in his body, when he walked in the earth, everything he did, he broke it open at the cross of Calvary. He broke it open at the cat of nine tails. He broke it open at the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, the crown of thorns, the nail prints in his hands, the tearing of his flesh. When we eat that broken body of Jesus given for us in his sufferings, we are partaking of everything he did. He healed every manner of disease and sickness. The Bible says he healed every manner of sickness and disease. Why? Because when we eat his body, everything is registered in there. Everything is documented in his body. And when we eat the broken body of Jesus, we are eating miracles and deliverance and salvation. In Jesus' name, I declare you be healed. Cancer be gone in Jesus' name. Mental illness be broken off of you in the name of Jesus. I speak the activity of the Holy Ghost to flow through you like a river and bring to life your dead body. Every cell in Jesus' name, come alive. Every cell that cries after you that you're guilty, I say it is. You are forgiven in Jesus' name. Your sins are forgiven, and your cells and your blood will cry out, you are forgiven. I loosen you in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. That is the inheritance of the saints of God. Hallelujah, to turn our DNA around for Jesus by his blood, by his body, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Let it be done, God. Let it be done, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be soothed, be at peace in Jesus' name. Be delivered in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, God, for what you're doing tonight in the name of Jesus. Let it be done, let it be done, let it be done in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's get ready to pray over offerings tonight. And I'm going to go through them here. Jesus. Hallelujah. As I get ready here, you can, you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. Okay. All right. One thing, people want to help with the building fund can do that if you want. Noel came up with some really cool things. I think they're pretty cool. Really cool. I don't know if anybody's familiar. You can do this. If you're not able to give to the building fund, like, and you want to, and you're not able to do it. I think Noel came up with some really great ideas on how to do that through Facebook. If you have a Facebook account, she's been selling things. She sold like a box of DVDs, her Bohemian Crystal set, she sold American Doll set, sold a box of computer games on the Facebook market. And if you want to find out how to do that, in case you want to give you stuff sitting around the house, we can show you how to or she can show you. I just found this out today how she did it. She made a list of things that she, you know, didn't use and would try to sell it, you know, and she was surprised how she was able to sell it. And she did it, you know, for the building fund. I thought it was kind of cool. So if you want to do that, and kind of clean up some of the things around your house, you can do that by just text me and let me know. Say, hey, Randy, how did she do that? She raised like, she wasn't really trying to raise money, but she, you know, came up with this idea and sold all kinds of things. And so if you want to find out how to do that, things you got around the house, you can kind of clean it. And that be surprised some of the stuff you got hanging around your house you got almost want to throw away, you might could sell. And so Noelle will show you how to do that. Just contact me and I'll let you know. She's got like 270 worth of stuff she sold. Just stuff she had hanging around. It's amazing. I said, girl, you're amazing. It's an idea she came up with, and I think if you want to find out how to do that, we can give you a kind of a list of how to do it, and our Noelle can, and it'd be fun. You know, God speaks you to do it. Some people want to give, and they can't, so we want to give you that opportunity to at least find a way. At least Noelle came up with a way to do that, and yeah, so hallelujah. All right. Let's move on and pray for the offerings tonight. Thanks, God. All right, one last thing. I'm going to make sure, let me check everything real quick here before we move on. All right, awesome. Let's see. Okay. All right. If you want to put building fund on that, you can. If you get $5, it can be made into $10. By the way, we got about $350 more dollars added to, you know, people say, I'll give $50 and put a building fund on it, then that makes $100. So somebody has to give the $100 or the $50, added $50, make the match. And so we've had $350 more dollars given to match the matches, to match the building fund. And there, we still got some building fund matches to be made to match up what we've already got in, but it's happening, man. It's happening. We're stretching these situations. And Carmen gave $100 for the match, you know, not for the building fund, but for the match, to match the building fund. Thank you, Carmen, for that. She gave that last week and put on there for the match. And thank you, Jesus, for that. We appreciate that. Some people can give money for the match, and some people give it for the building fund, whatever you want to do. Either way, it all works together for good. All right, and bookkeeping is getting together information for me to give you the details of the building fund, because I can't keep up with it. I've tried to keep up with it, and I can't. So we got our bookkeeping sending me information on that, so we're grateful for that. And that'll all be more easy to talk about as we set up a thing just for the building fund. It's all kind of a new thing. So, all right. Thank you, guys. Let's see here. People are saying for building fund. Nikki said for building fund. Yeah, they can. You can also text Noelle if you want. Just let us know, and I'll get you that information. You can text Noelle if you want to find out. She has a little simple way. It's kind of a little organized way of just, you know, making a list of things that you don't want anymore. Maybe just things you got laying around the house and you're never going to use, going to throw them away, maybe. That can turn into something if you want to do that. I would have never thought about that. I think it's a great idea. Just let us know, and we will get you in contact with Noelle if you want to do that. That'd be kind of fun. All right. Okay, hang on a second here. Okay, and then Nikki wanted building fund. Where's that at? we're looking this stuff up. Give me a minute here. Oh, there we go. Okay, Angel of Joy wanted to do hers. Building fund, putting on their building fund for those that ask for. Okay, so and pray that we catch completely up with all of our building fund matches. We got most of it's done. I don't know the exact numbers, but we've had, I don't know how much money's come in on that, but it's a lot. It's been great. So we're working with our real estate people and doing some things. So pray. Believe God that we can get this sealed up, and as God gives us the grace to do it, to seal it up, or we can have the building move in and start doing cool shows from our new studio. And it's really going to be nice, really going to be nice. Nicer than I would have ever thought. But it's amazing how God has preserved it for us right at this point so far. So thank God for that. Okay, Angela says building fund for her, Angela, South Carolina. Okay. Okay, thank you. Also, Donald. All right, Donald, thank you for that. Yes, because every time you give money, if a building fund on it, that then people give money to match it. In other words, you give $100 and put a building fund on it, somebody matches it with another $100. Just kicks it right in. Yeah, so it's been quite a bit of that, and it's been really cool. So it's really stretching our friends, and they're loving it. Everybody got to bless. So they're matching. So you get different carvings up and match. She gave $100 to match, did the matching. So, yeah, we're matchmaking. That's what we're doing. Yeah, we're making matchmaking. There you go. Didn't thought about it like that. Okay, let's pray over our offerings. And thank God for all of that. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for $2. Thank you, Michael, for that. Enjoy talking to your friend. The other night on the show, had call in. That was really awesome. So thank you, Jesus, for Michael tonight, God. I thank you for teaching him how to serve and get into the serving mode by Jesus, not just serving men, but serving God. And the serving God realm is where we get blessed. And that's why most of our ministry here, prophetically, a whole lot of it is about. It's about getting your ministry going. You know, I'm not saying behind the pulpit ministry. If you got that going, that's going to be great. But it's whatever ministry you have, and there's a lot of different ways your ministry kicks in. You can be a five-fold ministry person and have ministry, you know, to your family, ministry to other people. There's different kinds of ministry you can have. But if we can get people, Michael, to kick in their ministries and realize that God rewards you. That's where you get into the reward system of God, right? And God will reward you with what you need, which is really beautiful because you think you may need this, and he says you need that. And so when you get that instead of this, you get what you really need. Then what you really need truly builds you the way you need to be built and takes you the direction you need to take, because he will bless you in the area that he knows you need to be blessed. He rewards you. So anytime you work for God, you get into the reward system. Because God is—it's almost like He can't help. It's like He has to reward you. He wants to, but because He's God, He has to reward you. You can't work for God and not get rewarded. That's just the way God set it up. So God teaching you how to do that, Michael, and little things. It doesn't have to be a really big thing. Anything, any way you serve God. Say, God, what do you want to do today? Who do you want me to pray for? What do you want to say? What do you want to do? Who do you want to talk to somebody? You want me to give a dollar to somebody, give something to somebody, whatever it is. Just show me something. I want to get into the reward system of heaven. And when you get into that, friend, God will start bringing blessings to you. You don't even have to go after them. They will start coming after you. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of those things will be added to you. What does that mean? Does that mean we don't seek houses and homes? No, no, nothing wrong with looking for those things. But if we put first our ministries, you know, our little, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And we start kicking into that and make a habit of that, then we're going to see all of a sudden things start getting added to it. Oh, wow, where'd that come from? I don't know. What special gift did you give to God to do that? I'm just serving him every day. Just serving him every day. So I thank you, Jesus, for blessing Michael, rewarding him, God, in the name of Jesus. And let that be done, God, right now by the power of God. You just, your reward system, kick into him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that and that reward system, Father. Hallelujah. It's so real. It's so real. Most people just don't understand how real it is. It is absolutely mind-boggling. And so there you go. All right. Okay. Andrea, $4. Thank you, Andrea. God, I just bless Andrea tonight. Thank you, Lord, for accelerating her ability to move quickly, to do things quickly, accelerate her body energy, accelerate her mental energy, her brain energy, her will energy to will, that her will be energized to will the will of the Father at another level, at a whole other level, that her will begin to be energized to at a whole other level of saying, you know, yes, God, your will, your will, your will. And start seeing the will of God and knowing the will of God and doing the will of God. That's what the Bible says. You know, if you're not doing it, then, you know, it's powerless. It's because, so what does the doing come from? From our wills. When you will to do the will of God and your will is strengthened by God, then, you know, in other words, Jesus' will was strengthened. It said the angels strengthened him at Gethsemane. So his will was strengthened at Gethsemane. It said the angels strengthened him. What was he strengthening? His will. Yeah, it was his body too, but it was his will. His will was being strengthened. Why? Because he was saying, not my will, but thy will be done under extreme pressure. So when God energizes your will, Andrea, it is because under pressure sometimes we may, forget it for now. I'm tired. Yeah, forget it for now because, you know, whatever. I feel overwhelmed. So our will needs to be strengthened by God. Amen. Okay. Very, very good. Also, don't forget, this weekend, Saturday, Donald and Tanya are going to be doing a show, and I'm believing God for, you know, that he's just going to flow like a river. Tanya's going to flow like a river. They're going to flow like a river this weekend. They're going to have the Saturday night show, and I'm believing God for them to prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the cows, prophesy to the people, prophesy to the sheep, prophesy to everything. Just speak over people. Speak the will of God, speak the blessings of God on people. So they were expecting me to do that, but I just did it. Yeah. All right. That's going to happen this weekend, so make sure and connect in. All right. All right, Andrea. Wow, strengthening your will. Now, that's a pretty cool thing. I don't think I've ever quite thought about that before. All right, Kendra, $5. Pray for her. Okay, pray for Kendra and Elijah. All right, well, we just pray tonight for Elijah, God. We thank you for Elijah, that Elijah will follow in the footsteps of what's right and follow those people. Look to the people. Look to the people that have good things. Look to the people that are good examples, that have, godly, Holy Spirit-filled examples. Lord, Elijah will walk in that, God. And you open his eyes to see that and walk in the ways of God, to serve the living God in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and to know the ways of God and to walk in them in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Well, we thank you for Kendra. We thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God. We thank you for making her laugh again, God, giving her a big laugh. You know, the laugh is good, just to laugh deeper. We can already be laughing, but, you know, have fun and enjoy things, but laugh at a deep level, like laughing. Like when I saw Jesus, I had an open vision of Christ, and he was standing there with his hands on his belly because he was laughing so hard. He was really enjoying himself. Whatever he was doing, he was actually enjoying himself immensely. and he was laughing at a gut level. He was laughing so hard. It was almost like his stomach was hurting. He was like, oh, he was laughing so hard. It was an amazing dream. I know what Jesus looks like because I saw him in an open vision. And that young girl who drew a picture of Jesus, who she saw, it looks the closest Jesus I've ever seen is that one. And that amazing when I saw the picture of the Jesus she drew, because I said, that's the one. Same hair length, basically, beard length and everything. Some people have him really long hair. He never had really long hair that I ever saw. So I get off on that. But thank you, Jesus, for Kendra God, for the ability to see and understand and know that laughing is the laugh of God. It's the laughter that's good like a medicine. And Lord, I just release a new laughter in her to laugh at herself when she does things that she normally gets hard on herself about. Really tough on herself. God, is she going to start laughing at herself? That was one of the biggest things for me to do, to laugh at myself, because I was always so serious, Kendra, always so serious that I would never laugh at myself. I got to correct myself. I can't laugh at myself because I got to get serious. I got to get really serious, and I've got to straighten myself out. I got to walk with God. Oh, yeah, I got to straighten myself out, and I would never laugh at anything I did. In fact, I would really jump on myself. They didn't know I was living in condemnation, but I was. And so after I saw Jesus laugh, I never saw him like that before. It was a new thing for me. And from then on, I began to, little by little, begin to laugh at myself when I would do stuff instead of get mad at myself, which made it worse, right? So whatever reason, Kendra, I see you, the laughter of the Lord, the Spirit of God coming upon you and bringing you, releasing you with a gut laugh from the Holy Spirit, amen, from the Holy Spirit. And that he will ignite that laughter in Jesus' name and just fill you afresh with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Where people just love being around you. Like, oh, my God, she's got a joy. She's got a laugh. She's got the beauty of Jesus around her. So, all right, Sally from UK, London, $7. Thank you, Sally. We just bless you and love you over there in the UK. God bless you. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just speak order. I speak the order of the Holy Spirit. Anything that the enemy's trying to get out of order, God, I think anything that the enemy's trying to bring any kind of disgrace upon her loved ones or her family or her business or the people around she's around, whatever she's doing. And God, I thank you, Jesus, that you will cover and protect and watch over, God, in Jesus' name, and bring praise and bring honor to Sally and to Sally's family and to those around her and those her friends and the people that she's involved in. Bring honor to them. To create an atmosphere of blessing and friendship and honor and praises, the praises of God. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray over you. I pray strength into your spirit, Sally, your soul. I pray strength into your soul, that God will strengthen your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. So, like I kind of prayed over Andrea earlier about God strengthening her will. Like it said, when Jesus was at Gethsemane, that the angels came and strengthened him. Yeah, and believe me, our will, Sally, is one of the most powerful things that we have because it's how we choose. And when we choose right, when we choose under pressure, it's because we have strength in our soul, in our will to choose. And so I'm praying that for you too today. That's going to be a word for people tonight, I got a feeling. It's about strength in the soul. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Sally, pray for our studio. I don't know what I'm saying, pray for the studio for you, but just pray for the studio. Yeah. You got an anointing or something for it, I'm sure. Hallelujah. All right, Anya. I bless you, Anya. Thank you for that $7. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for the completion of things, God, things that have been being worked on, things that need to be finalized, finished with their children, with their husband, with their friends, with their work, with their finances. I see God sealing and finishing things in Jesus' name, bringing them to a completion. Like I've talked to a couple of people just recently, something I've seen that's new, that when God finishes a project, like we see our children come to a breakthrough of some sort. Of course, they're not going to be perfect, but put when they break through and come out of a situation, like they're in a bad situation, coming out of a situation, then your faith is successful, right? Your faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But when you finally see them, that means your faith was successful on you. And then that instantly ushers you into a whole other level of faith. So that's why it's important for God to finish things so that we see the result of our faith, not just keep believing though we can't see it. But actually when we see it, it activates a whole other level of faith, and that's what I see going on with you. And God bringing results to things, you'll be able to see the results. Sometimes we get so caught up into, you know, like with our children. You know, we expect our children to be, you know, God really to bless our children. We have these ideas of what we think blessings with our children are. And so God goes like, I'm going to show you every time when they get breakthroughs, when something goes on, like in your family or your business or your life, when you get breakthroughs, I'm going to show you so you can go, yeah, your prayers were answered, your faith was successful, and now I'm taking you to a whole other level of faith. And you're going to start seeing things finalized, you know, or at least finish up in that area so your faith can move to another level. Because it will go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and your faith moving up higher for the miracle realm. For the miracle realm, Sally. I mean, on you. So in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, Shalonda, $10. God bless you, Shalonda. No, I just feel like praying an all-around blessing on you. I don't know what I've ever said that to anybody before, an all-around blessing, that God be all around you, God surround you, God bless you, everything all around you, an all-around blessing in every area, your atmosphere, your atmosphere in your head, in your mind, in your will, in your body. In Jesus' name, an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere of confidence, an atmosphere of, seeing God in things. You know, sometimes when an atmosphere around us is cloudy and down, then I don't know about you, but I feel cloudy and down when the atmosphere is there. But I see God, you know, bringing an atmosphere in you, Shalonda, where it surrounds you. God is surrounding you, letting you know that you're surrounded with blessing. You are surrounded with help. You are surrounded, and they're there to help you. The angels are there. The great cloud of witnesses are there to encourage you and build you up, and you, at times, able to hear their voice cheering you on, literally knowing that they're on your side. Whether you hear it at night in your dreams or whatever you hear it, I don't know, but hearing the voice of the great cloud of witnesses or the angels and whatever you want to say about that that surrounds you, all around you, hearing the voice of them saying, go, you're doing good, keep doing it. You know, whether that voice comes through a person or literally you hear that voice in the spirit, I don't know. But I see that happening with you in Jesus' name. Like out of the cloud, you know, with Jesus, when the Father said, that's my beloved Son, you know, I'm well pleased. He let everybody know, you know. And God doesn't, to please God, you have to really be, you know, like Jesus. And Jesus was like Jesus. And God liked Jesus a lot. Yeah, he did. All right, Sarah, $10. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Lord, for your confidence, for your faithfulness. I was thinking about you today and that word I gave you about faithfulness. And God's showing you your faithfulness to him, how important it is. That I also see a green thing, like a green light, some type of a green light, like a blob of light, green blob of light. Cool looking, nice, colorful, sharp. But I saw that a few nights ago with somebody, and that means life. That means the spirit of life in Jesus' name. I speak prosperity and blessing over you, and the kindness of God flow out of you, and the faithfulness of God flow through you in the name of Jesus at a whole other level in Jesus' name. And it come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over in Jesus' name. Bless her, God. Fill those voids, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. With glory. All right, Angela Joy, $10 building fund. Thank you, Lord, for Angela Joy. God, I thank you, Jesus, for the smile in her spirit, for that confident knowing, that having that confidence in God, that God is on my side, that God is with me, that God is for me, that God is working in my behalf, that I'm a friend of God. That's like a smile in your spirit, and that confidence of knowing that. Almost like sometimes people are like Joseph, they thought he was just a little bit too confident. But But it was all given to him by God. All given to him by God. And he learned how to manage it. Sometimes we have to manage our favor when it comes to dealing with people, be able to manage it correctly. And I think Joseph learned to manage his favor. He had a whole lot of favor. And Angela, God wants to show you how to manage the favor that is in your life. Because when we manage the favor, a lot of the problems that are created through not managing our favor correctly, that created problems with Joseph, even though God used it for his glory. But he didn't know how to manage his favor. He didn't know how to talk to people about it. He didn't quite know how to do that. He learned later on. And he still was very confident and had that smile of confidence, like, Daddy's on my side, about him. But he managed it. I've never heard that before. Managing your favor? Have you ever heard that before? I've never heard that before, managing your favor. Like, God, I just like to have some favor, right? Some people just consider it I just want to have some favor. Yeah. And managing it means, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I'm going to put that down in my phone. Managing your favor. Hang on a second. That was such a good word. I got to pull over here. I got to put that in my notes. Hang on a minute. My gosh, that was awesome. Learning to manage your favor like Joseph did. All right. You'll hear me doing that. I'm literally doing I write down everything. Almost everything. I try to write down everything. But when I get something, I try to write down my thing so I don't forget, because that was a good word. That was really awesome. All right. Let's go here, back over here. Jesus. All right, Angela Joy, man, learning to manage your favor. I never heard of that before. That was definitely cool. That's definitely cool. Jesus, managing your favor. Joseph had so much favor, he had to learn how to manage it right. His daddy loved him, God loved him, everybody loved him. Because he didn't know how to manage it, it caused him a little bit more problems than he needed. But God still, listen to this, Ashley. But he had so much favor, even when he messed up something, it turned out for his favor. Isn't that cool? I don't know if he messed it up or not by doing that, but, it was kind of a little bit. He needed to learn how to manage his favor. He had so much favor. People couldn't handle him, They're like, oh, man, he had too much favor. So we had to manage our favor so that it can be absorbed by people in a good fashion, right? Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I can't wait to preach on that. That's really cool. Whoa. Learn to manage your favor, keep you out of trouble. Oh, my. That's amazing. I love it. All right, Mahogany, $10. The revelation, man, it comes on PGN. You never know what's going to happen here on PGN Network. It's amazing. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Mahogany. Thank you, Lord, for new eyes. I see God giving you eyes, like your eyes are being sharpened. Your spiritual eyes are being sharpened. God is sharpening your eyes, Mahogany, to see. Sharpen your eyes to observe the right things. When you observe something, you're able to see it, like it is. Sometimes we see through a glass darkly, right? So it's about seeing clear in your eyes, sharpening up so that when you see things, like you see somebody and you say, what's going on over there? That's kind of weird. What is that? Well, you're going to know what it is. You're going to start knowing more what it is, right? And that gets perfected. And then your eyes get stronger and more precise. And you start seeing clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. So open it up for her, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Mahogany. Wow. Pocuche. Ah, my quiero. Oh, shake it. Joke, ma. Pinky, ta, oh, kumaha. Hele, oh, mahana, mana, mana, bata. And let the river of God flow in her behalf, God, to take her higher. Let the water fill up more. Let the riverbanks overflow. In Jesus' name, Kumaha. Amen. Nicole, $13.33 building fund. Thank you for that, Nicole. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you for that God showing you how to start fires, how to start a fire, how to light somebody's fire. You know, I was reading something today I found on my old phone. I have a couple of phones. On my old phone, I was trying to delete stuff, and I went through and I found some really interesting pictures I've taken of articles. And I got to read this to you for some reason. What's that? There it is right there. And one of them was about my name, my last name. This is Chandler. And so the French meaning of this, let me take my glasses on. The French meaning of this is the name Chandler is French. In French, the meaning of name Chandler is maker of candles. Right? Maker of candles. And there's another one over here somewhere. Okay, I don't want to go there on that one, but it's amazing how correct some of these things are, right? So anyway, when I saw that, did I ever seen that? I don't remember if it was on there. I know I did it, but nobody else would have done that, but a long time ago. And I saw that what my name meant was like had to do with candles and chandeliers and light and stuff. And so as I gave you that information right now, it's like learning how to light people's candles, you know, like people have the spirit of man, Proverbs 20 maybe, something like that. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. But you know what? If that candle's not lit, people really can't see. They really don't know where they're going, what's going on. So they can have a candle. Everybody's got a candle. But the spirit of man, everybody has a spirit of man, is the candle of the Lord. Right? So when that candle is lit, they can see kind of, okay, oh, now I see what I'm doing wrong, so I can change. Now I see what other people are doing that I need to work with. And now I can see, because when the light's not on, the lights are on, but nobody's home. No, but when the light's on, people can see, and that's the thing. So I just, basically, I heard that Lord said, God's showing you how to light the candle, you know, put a fire in their candle. And so they can see. So that was cool, really cool. And since I saw that, I identified with that today. I found that in my notes today. Chandler means candlestick maker, candlestick maker, which I don't know how that was. Candlesticks, you know. Some other rendition of Chandler is chandelier, which is really cool. Light bearer, which is kind of what, you know, I believe God wants us to do. So. A candle lighter, right? To light candles. Very, very important. It's about the spirit of revelation, about people being able to see in the darkness, and so they can know where they're going. And we need people just to light candles. Like you see in some churches, they have some of these kids who just light, all they do is light candles. And people light candles. There's something about lighting candles. So Jesus said, Mark, Gary and Mary, $18 building fund. Go there to their send me an email. Okay. If you're able to hear that, because I have my phone in the wrong position. Okay. Okay, give me a second here. All right. Oh, there we go. I got it. All right, Gary and Mary. Wow. A long one. I haven't even read this one yet. Building fund, $18. Job 19:25-27, NIV. Know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin hath been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him, so like Job, with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Yes. Good words. 1 Peter 1:18-21. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that were You were redeemed from the empty ways of life, handed down to you from your ancestors. Oh, there you go. That's a good one, Gary. Handed down from your ancestors. I got to remember that one. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last days, these last times, for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. That's the thing, friend. The Antichrist situation, the Antichrist system, wants us to get our eyes on man being our source. Like, you're not going to have a source without me. If you don't have that chip, you're not going to have money. If we're not already ready for that, we need to get ready for it, because that God is our source, and we keep God as our source, so we don't even be tempted to be a part of that thing. Psalms 119, verse 9 through 12. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Praise to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Amen. Share Gary and Mary. Shalom. Amen. All right. That was really good. Really good stuff there. I like that. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Gary and Mary, Lord. Thank you for Gary, God. I thank you for the voice you've given him, God. I just keep getting this thing, Gary, about your voice. Of course, we know your voice is more than your voice, but because there's always part of it. That's the expression. It's like John the Baptist's father, what's his name? I can't get his name right now. Anyway, he couldn't speak for 9 months until he named John, right? And then when he named John, his voice came back. So there's something with God. What God's doing in you is without you having a physical voice right now, in the normal fashion, that God is developing a new thing in you, because you're going to be a part of naming the new thing and naming and being a part of the thing that ushers in the new thing, right? Because the thing that his father, John the Baptist's father, did was he couldn't speak until he said, called him John. And when he did that, then he opened up his mouth again. John was the beginning of the new thing. It was the passing away of the old. The Levitical priesthood, which they were the Levites, as you know, there was a transition. So your voice thing also has something to do with a type and a shadow of the times and seasons that we're in, that you're called to, bring forth the John the Baptist, a spirit, if you will, which was the transition into the old passing away and the new coming, right? And being a part of that, and when he named John, which was not tradition, right? It wasn't traditional. It was very new. It was all new. Everything was about John was new, and he had very much to do with it, of speaking his name and saying, and that's when his voice returned. So there's something going on with that. That God's developing you the voice to declare the name of the new thing, or the nature of a new thing. And the old's going to pass away, and he's going to come in. And you have a voice. God's going to give you a voice for that. You have a voice for it already, but it's being manifested. Isn't that cool? I just got that instantly. It's amazing. I just love you, Jesus, for your revelation. Wow, my Lord. It has to do with the transition into the new thing. Whoa. Dude, you hearing that? My Lord and my God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I love that. My gosh. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for the glory. Yes. Yeah, Gary. Zachariah, great work. Thank you, yeah. Okay, Zachariah. Yeah, I was wanting to call you something else. I don't know what I was trying to call you. Yes, Zachariah, thank you. Yes. When you prophesy, man, I get information so fast that Anyway, awesome, man. That was awesome. Dude, that gives it purpose. That gives it some enlightenment, man. I mean, oh, my goodness. That's like, you know, and with Mary, I just saw Mary with a set of glasses on, and so the glasses have to do with, you know, the like a new level of eyesight. Yes, a new level of eyesight that God's bringing, a new level of eyesight. Yes, okay, hang on a second here. I just love the word of the Lord, man. It's so amazing. I just am amazed if I go on a little trip and I find myself, you know, going on little trips and that's what the Lord put me on that. I mean, I didn't know where that was going to go, Gary. That, honest to God, I did not know where that was going. And then it just fell in right, like you just kind of fall into it. It's just amazing. The prophetic is truly amazing. We give you the glory, Jesus. Because I admittedly know that I don't know where I'm going with it. I mean, I don't even have a clue. You know, I just step out by faith, open my mouth, and he fills it by his grace, and it's just amazing. Wow, I love it. I just absolutely love it. All right, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. That really excited me, Gary. I mean, I can't even move on. I'm having trouble getting Mary's word out. It's yours, so Mary, blame that on him. I'm choking up over his word. It's been amazing. Wow. That was awesome, man. Oh, my goodness. Jesus, I give you the glory, dear God. That's, like, so cool. Anyway, so with Mary, I saw like glasses, like adjustment glasses, where God is giving you the ability to see clearly. He's like adjusting your eyes. It's like they're glasses to adjust your eyes, not that you're going to have permanent, you know, glasses, but they were like spiritual glasses that are adjusting your sight, giving you letting you be able to focus in better. You know, like sometimes my deal now is I've gotten a little older that. Sometimes it's about focusing in on certain things. And so I see you being able to, God, working with your focus where you can focus on what he wants you to focus on and do it more just, you know, I don't want to say deliberate. I want to say, like, you just kind of find yourself doing it. That's not really deliberate. You deliberately set your will to the Father, and that you do. But you, when we set our will to the Father, that means people don't understand this. When you set your will to the Father, then you stumble into things all the time because it's not like you chose to do it. It's like because you gave your will to the Father, he takes it over, right? He takes over our will because we give it to him to take over. He wouldn't take it over without our permission, but we give it to him to take over, Mary, and then he takes it, and then we find ourselves saying and doing things and going places. You know, we don't even know where we're going, what we're doing, and God's just leading us all the way. It's a beautiful thing when you understand that, and that's what I see God doing. And I'll take some of that myself, by the way. Yes, I will. Once you set your will with the Father and you continue to do that, Jesus said, not my will. The reason that was so big was because, you know, Jesus was led by just thinking things and saying it would be the thoughts of the Father. Why? Why did that happen? Why did he just automatically get the thoughts of the Father without going, God, what are you thinking right now? It just kind of came to him. Why? Because his will was set. And when your will is set, you just kind of get pulled along by the Lord, and you kind of follow along, and you kind of follow. Like, I just followed that information with Gary. Like, I just followed that. I didn't know where that was going. He didn't have a clue where that was going. And boom, 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 all of a sudden we get through, I'm going like, oh, my gosh, look at that. Didn't even know. Why? Because my will is set, and it can be set in deeper and deeper levels, right? And, like, Jesus was setting his will at a deeper level at Gethsemane. His will was already set. We know that. It was amazing how he was led by God. Only did what the Father did. But he was setting it at a whole other level because it wasn't really what he was ready for at the moment. He was trying to, I don't know what he wanted to do exactly. I'd have a talk to him about that. He hasn't spoken to me about that precisely. But it's pretty cool, pretty amazing that he, you know, said, if this cup can pass. So there you go. Awesome. Guys, thank you very much. I love this stuff. The prophetic is absolutely amazing. Send me something. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus. I just love that. There's nothing like the prophetic. I don't see how people live without it. I mean, I don't even get prophesied to necessarily, and I love just giving it. I mean, it just thrills me to be able to give it out. Amen. All right, Felicia, $18. Felicia, your ears been burning. We've been talking about you. Yes, we have. I've been telling people, using you as an example. So I think you've listened to some of that a little bit. But yeah, training, like a training thing, God using things for a training, I was talking about you with Donald, I think it was Donald and Tanya, and you came on and said, you were listening, and you thanked me for mentoring you or whatever, which, we do mentor, but it's in a way that if you don't catch the mentoring, you don't catch it. People don't realize that every time I prophesy, I'm mentoring somebody. We're mentoring people. I'm not trying to mentor people. That's just what happened. Because I do it and I talk about it. I share why I'm doing it, how I'm doing it. Because I want people to, get the big thing that they think it is out of their minds and be something that they can do because they have the Holy Spirit inside them. So, God, setting forth a pattern of training people, of opening up this training for a militia, militia. 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 I gotta hang on. What is that militia? You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to spell militia. How do you spell militia? Like an army or something? You know what that is, militia? Isn't it like a, how do you spell that? M-E-L? Oh, there it is. It is. Oh, my gosh, I found it. Militia, like a military, like, that's what I was, a militia, M-E-L-I-T-I-A, that's what I wanted. It's generally an army or some other fighting organization of non-professional soldiers, citizens of a country or subjects of a state who may perform military service during a time of need as opposed to professional forces or regular full-time military personnel historically. Oh, wow, look at that. First, I didn't know how to spell it. I spelled it like Melissa, except militia. Literally, I spelled M-A-L-I-S-I-S-A-K, military. Oh, that was crazy. Militia, there you go. Okay, got it. Awesome. So, in a militia, it's generally an army of fighters organized of non-professional soldiers. So, in other words, it's kind of what happened with Peter, James, and John and the disciples. They were a militia. they weren't the organized professional ones like the priests. They were the militia. They were the new thing. They were, an organized group of people, citizens. And, that's what Peter, Peter was a fisherman. It's like God, Jesus said, you're going to be a fisherman of men now. So he took these everyday ordinary people who weren't professional ministers, professional soldiers, and he organized them, got them together, and they were powerful. Amen? So somehow or another, you have something to do with that. I mean, I don't even know what that means. I just get information. That is really cool. Like the militia, M-I-L, let me spell it for you, M-I-L-I-T-I-A, militia. Because that's what I got for you was like militia. I don't even know what it had to do with. I got the word militia. So somehow or another, you're part of the training, even use the word training. So you're going to help be part of the training of the militia, the army of the Lord, the non-professional, like Peter, James, and John. They were non-professionals. They weren't raised up full-time ministers, right? They were, part-time or something, whatever. But yet they became a militia. Yeah. We'll name it the Melissa Militia, since I spelled it like that. Awesome. Oh, my gosh. That is really, really cool. I love it. Anyway, so there you go. I don't have the rest of that right now, but that's a good beginning. Krishna, $20. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Jesus, for Krishna. Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father, for the insight you've given Krishna. You give Krishna great insights to things. I thank you, Lord, that you've given her insight. You have almost like a natural instinct from God to have insight to things, like insight, like not outside, but insight. Outside is looking at things from the outside. Inside is looking at things from the inside. So God looks at things from the inside out. Some people look at from the outside in. But God has given you, Krishna, this thing of being able to look from the inside out, like from the perspective of the Lord, from the perspective of the kingdom. And some people look at the kingdom from the outside, go, oh, you know, I don't know about that. You know, so they don't understand, they don't see it and what goes on. But God's going to give you a real understanding of what goes on the inside, the insight for the inside, the insight for the inside. And show you how to, you know, see things and perceive things from the inside. It's like, you know, like how can we say this? Like the FBI or the CIA, you know, they got the inside on this. You know, they got the inside. Like it's the inside. So, Lord, I thank you for opening her up to that, showing her that, let her see, better feed that, nurture that with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, with the prophetic realm. In Jesus' name, open her up, God, to dwell in that place with the prophetic realm. In Jesus' name, the spontaneous, movable Word of the tabernacle of the Lord of God, Lord God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Tabernacle that moves about everywhere she goes. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, and open it up wide, Jesus. Open it up wide. Hallelujah. For your maturity, God. See things from your level, which is maturity. Amen. Chris, $24. Thank you, Chris. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for surrounding him with challenges. That, see, here's the thing, Chris. When God challenges us, he doesn't challenge us just with anything. He challenges us with the things that pertain to what we're called to do. He challenges us with that. He'll bring a challenge along and get you to thinking, because a challenge challenges you. It causes you to think, okay, how am I going to work this out? But it's not a challenge. It's something you have nothing to do with in the future. It has something to do with where you're going, what's going on. He will challenge you in things and cause a challenge to be like, okay, geared toward what you're going to be doing, geared toward what you're to challenge you, to provoke you, to get you to thinking and working your brain and working your heart and working Bible and working the things of God through, where you start, you know, just like when in the military, like when they're going to be Navy SEALs. Navy SEALs, you know, do special training. Why? Because they're being challenged in a special way for certain things they do that not everybody else can do. And not everybody else can do what the Navy SEALs do, right? They're very specially highly, highly, highly trained people. And so they get challenged with things. When they train them, they challenge them with certain things that they're going to have to think and do out on the field that is special, that is unusual, that is, you know, so what they do is they challenge them to get their brain thinking toward that thing, toward that object, toward that, you know, strategy they're going to need, toward how to figure things out and work it. It gets their mind to working and thinking. So God's going to bring you challenges. And so thank God for his challenges. He doesn't challenge you just for nothing, just to keep you busy. He challenges you toward the things that you're geared toward working on and thinking of and working through. Does that make sense? So, yeah, so let God show you that well, you can see your challenges have to do something in training you on things that you need to know. And it's not just harassment from the enemy. It is God challenging you to provoke you to think of the challenge. How am I going to work my way through this? How am I going to come? How am I going to win this thing? How am I going to, you know, come out of this? How am I going to come out of this thing on top and do the right thing? So your mind starts thinking in that direction. Amen. All right. Marja, $30. Thank you, Marja. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for Marja. I just speak that prosperity of the Lord upon her. I speak financial blessing upon her. I speak documented miracles. I speak, documented miracles, you know, before and after miracle pictures and video or whatever of documentation of things. before and after, before the miracle and after the miracles, those kind of things. So I thank you, Lord, for that arena in her life, God, that you can bless her and increase her, that you're maturing her, you're growing her up into the Spirit, and teaching her how to open doors, how to knock correctly. We don't have to knock for you know, long time. You knock correctly, give a code knock, and they go, oh, you're that code knock. That means that's one of our people. Go answer the door now, because it's a code knock. Angels know the code knock. I remember this. This is amazing. Code knock. Knock, knocking. A certain way. Yay. Marja is knock, knock, knocking in a certain way. And the angels go, hey, that's Marja. Yeah, go get it now. Yeah, so code knocking, let's see what code knocking means. Code knocking is like knocking with obedience and knocking with, a willingness to do whatever. Like when you're knocking, people are going, yeah, I can tell the way they're knocking that's something we need to let in. You know what I'm saying? It's not like some crazy flop knock. Not flop knocking. What is flop knocking? Don't ask me. Flop knocking means they're still flopping around out there. We're not going to answer that door yet. But we got a very directive, you know, precise, you know, got some precision to it, got some discipline to it, got some rhythm to it. They're going like, eh, we're going to get that one. That one's ready. Let her in. Yeah, let her in. Let her in to the holy den. Yeah. All right, Deborah and John from our sister who does shows on every Tuesday, $39. Thank you for that. And thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you for the healing virtue of Christ, God, beginning to flow through Deborah. God, I thank you for unlocking the healing virtue of Christ to heal people from wrong doctrines, because wrong doctrines can make you sick, right? Misunderstanding the Word of God can make you sick. So healing in the area of setting people right in the Word of God and helping them understand the Word of God to get healed from wrong doctrine or false doctrine or, you know, whatever. And all kinds of other healings, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the healing virtue of Christ flowing through Deborah, God, in Jesus' name, being able to focus in on every area that needs to be touched and speak healing over them in Jesus' name, healing in different ways, healing in marriages, healing in relationship things, healing in whatever it is in Jesus' name, how to get things right and keep things right. Healing people, healing their wounds, where they can move on in life, where they can move into their future. The prophetic part of you is healing the wounds so they can move into their future. In Jesus' name, future prophetic, future healings. Yeah, future healing, healing for the future. There you go, healing for the future. Amen, so they can move into the future. If they don't get healed, then they can move into the future because their wounds keep them bound. Yeah. All right, John, thank you, Jesus, for John. God, I thank you for a special anointing. A special anointing of faith, God, to believe you for miracle money. Like Jesus told Peter, he said, go get the miracle money. He said, what do you mean? He said, go open up the fish's mouth and get a pair of taxes. Pair of taxes, my taxes and yours. Wasn't it cool that Jesus, the money he was going to get, the miracle money was going to be for Peter's taxes and his taxes? And pay. Jesus had some tax issues. Isn't that amazing? That's what he said. Go read it. It's amazing. You know what it says. And you go, Peter, go, the first fish, you know, look in his mouth, he's going to have coins. He's going to pay my taxes and yours. Yeah, it's called miracle money. Yeah. Shows you how God is interested in paying bills, right? Yeah, and that's what God's going to show you, how to pay the bills, how to pay the bills with miracle money. In the name of God, I loosen you by keros, ataka, pavoga. That God will give you an attack mode, give you an attack thing, give you a strategy to attack and take it. Take the thing, take it by violence, take it in Jesus' name. Go get it and get it in Jesus' name and take it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what the devil having? You know, John says, I'm going to take that thing in Jesus' name. That's what you're having. Yeah. Hey, man, you shouldn't be having your name on these offerings, bro. I'm going to prophesy over you. I'm playing about that. I don't know about that, but yeah. Yeah. There you go, Brother John. I love you, man. Thanks for your help. All right. Angela from South Carolina. It's using a $45 building fund. Haka ba ne. Kili go to 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 Haka ma reho. Maka ma inge sheku go 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 go. You know, I taught on anger the other night. I've been teaching on anger. And I did not want to teach on that because people have a problem acknowledging anger. And you know, it's just, I don't know why we do that. I think because we're taught that all of our lives. I was taught that, don't you be angry, boy. You be angry, you be angry. And so we think being angry is sin. But the Bible says, be angry. But sin, don't sin with your anger. It says, be angry, but don't sin with it. So anger is kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. Like anger, I don't think you can find it in there. I haven't looked yet. I haven't read the fruits of the Spirit lately in Galatians 5. But, but somehow or another, anger's got to be in there. It's got to be a fruit of the Spirit because Jesus bore fruit, right, from God, and he got angry. So there's this whole thing, Angela, about like I was praying with John, to take things in violence, in the spirit of violence, because in the sense that the enemy's not just going to go, okay, Angela, South Carolina, come and get it. I'm just so tired of having all this money and having all this fame and having all this stuff. I just can't. Now, are you kidding me? He's going to say, you know, this is mine. He can't have it. He ain't going to get it. And God's going to show you that you're going to know that it's yours, that it belongs to God. It's yours. It's yours to go take. It's yours to take to the Lord. It's yours to go get. It's yours. And we need to realize that anger is in it, that Holy Ghost getting a whip, anger is going to rise up in the spirit and say, devil, you're going to loosen that money. You're going to loosen that thing. You're going to loosen those souls. You're going to loosen that prosperity. You're going to loosen that thing for the kingdom of God. You're going to loosen that. Yeah, and Jesus, I see like a righteous anger rise up in you. It's like with a whip, man, to just take out and just like the two witnesses are going to do. I think they're going to have a whip in their hand. That spiritually speaking, because they're going to whoop up on the devil. My God, why don't people preach about that at the end of time? No, it's good. The Antichrist is going to be so bad to the bone. No, he's not. He's like smartly stupid. And the two of us are going to whoop up on him all the time. They're going to have a whip in their head. And they're going to be like going, yeah, you think you're going to do that? Hey, how about a plague? How about a nice little plague for your little devil hide? Yeah. Dummy. And he puts some two witnesses with him. Give him a good whooping. Finally, he does kill them, but it's after the prophesy is over, according to Revelation 11. So they fulfilled, got the job, then they got to go to heaven, right? Boom. Boom, boom, boom. It happened. So there you go, Angie. Yeah. Take back what belongs to God. Take it back. Take it back. Yeah. All right, Bianca, $47. Hallelujah. Bianca, 47. Mm-hmm. On her way to heaven. Bringing it to earth. Going to give birth to some things in the earth. From heaven in the earth. You're going to give birth to things in the, and that's part of your job is to get, giving birth to something is like having children. It's getting a creative idea on how to say something, how to do something that's never been thought of before. Like, you know, giving birth to a thought, giving birth to a way to do something. That's called creativity. Giving birth to something, like bringing it from heaven. That's why the new birth comes from heaven, because we get born again. But the idea is the same thing. We get born again. We bring forth the idea. We bring forth the answer. We bring forth the victory. We bring forth, you know, whatever, the financial breakthrough. We bring it forth. And we give birth to that. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. To those creative ideas, those things. And so thank you, Jesus. That's one of your callings is to give birth from the earth, into the earth, from heaven, from heaven to earth, giving birth from heaven to earth. She's given birth from heaven to Come on, Bianca. Give it birth. Bianca, birth it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If all these inventions, all these ideas, all these things that then the earth could think, oh, you know, that's the devil. No, TV was the devil. No, TV was radio, TV, all that was like, that was of God, man. That was an idea of God. Most Christians were too spiritual to get it. So give birth to those things, Bianca. I loosen you in Jesus' name. All right, Sandra. Sandra, 50-50. Sandra, 50-50. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go here. In the year 50-50, it's going to be a little shifty because God's shifting the earth, because there's been a lot of things covered up, Sandra. Things have been covered up. The reason things have to be shifted, shiftings and shakings, because the things that are covered up, the things that have been buried, the things that the enemy has buried, but also a lot of things God has hidden from people being able to see and know, Sandra. God is saying that I am, that's part of your job, that's part of who you are. Yes, is to, to do that very thing in Jesus' name. And let me see, let me go back here in a second. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so God's going to give you an understanding of why things have to be shaken, why things have to be shifted, because God has treasures, you know, in our minds. He has treasures in the earth, even physical earth. That's why the earth has to be shaken. Things have to be shaken in our minds, in our relationships, because there's things in our life that the only way they're going to be found and discovered is by God shaking, the shakings of God. When God shakes you, it's because he's trying to make you. He's trying to make you something you've never seen before, never known before, and opening up the minds of the people to, because God's about to do a thing in the earth that had we told them, they wouldn't believe it. That's what, even scriptural, had they been told, they wouldn't have even believed it. So this whole thing about God showing you about shaking and what shaking does and why it's necessary, why we should want it instead of dread it, or, you know, because anything that's of God, anything that can be shaken will be shaken, and anything that doesn't stand is not of God. And that's a horrible, hard thing to deal with, because who wants to be shaken? Who wants to see what you've got? Oh, let's see what in your life can be shaken off today, and, you know, about 50% of it falls off. You're like, oh, 50% falls off. Oh, my God. But you know what? God just saved you. God just delivered you. Because we all do that. We all have things in our life. He's always asking me to rededicate myself, to recommit myself. And sometimes when I do that, things fall off. I'm going, ooh, that fell off. He said, yeah, that one's supposed to be there for now. Okay, I'm just saving you. I went, oh, okay, thank you, Jesus. I'm just saving you. There's a future's coming that men have never seen, men have never known. Had we told them, they wouldn't believe it. I've been telling people, and they still don't believe it. As a prophet, I tell people things that they don't even know. They don't have a clue. They don't even believe it when you tell them. And then they try to act like their bad information was really good information when it was all just bad information. I love it. It's fun. But the shaking, the purpose of shakings, and to explain and understand shakings, how they're there to expose and reveal and to find treasures and to open up the things that God has hidden in the earth, in Jesus' name. Yeah, I don't think I mentioned your building. It was a building fund for you. So really powerful. So in other words, you're going to see things get shaken in people's lives and be able to tell them, I'm praying for you, but, you know, just, put your eyes on Jesus, because he's going to deliver you from things that maybe you've gotten too friendly with, or whatever you agreed with that you weren't supposed to agree with. And just things, just stuff that happens in life, it's going to start falling off people, and people are going to be found themselves just with God and God alone, and nothing hanging on but except with God, what belongs to God. And because what God puts together, let no man put asunder. When God puts it together, let no man put it asunder. So shakings put things asunder that are not of God. And sometimes it's pretty scary. But God's going to give you wisdom on that, how to understand that and get a hold of that. All right, LaShun, $20. Thank you, LaShun. Thank you, Jesus, for LaShun. We just thank you, Lord. I don't know if y'all heard, LaShun had, I think I put it out on the network, but she had kind of a youth thing going on, conference, what, a couple weeks ago, I think, something like that, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I put it out for y'all to let you know about it. And she told me that they had some good results from that. So next time you hear LaShun, ask her about it and give God some praise for what he's doing in LaShun's life. And we just thank you, Lord, for LaShun. Lord, we thank you for making a way where there seems to be no way with her, God, that she continues to be, you know, just like Joseph. We talked about Joseph tonight. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, go back and listen to that teaching on Joseph. About it seemed like the closer he got to God's will, the more he thought he was missing it. Because he was like going in all the wrong directions. He was going more toward Egypt, and he's supposed to be going toward Canaan, you know, where his dreams are coming. So, yeah, so all that, it's an amazing, amazing revelation. To me, I thought it was amazing. Tonight, God's trying to show us things. That's something we think when everything's falling apart and the devil's taking advantage of it the whole time, you know, what Satan meant for evil, you know, yeah, but God turned it for good. So all of this stuff about being in the wrong place, you know, I'm in all the wrong places. I'm in Egypt. I'm not in Canaan. What's going on? This is all messed up. God, what did I do wrong? Beloved? And the whole time, he was being, you know, in God's purposes and didn't even know it. You know, it's amazing that how we can go through the same thing. Yeah, so God, I thank you, Lord, for making a way where it seems to be no way, God. You just need to show the shine, God, how to yield to you at a level she never has in her life, to be vulnerable to you, to be yielded to you at new levels. And the more she grows in becoming yielded to you, like every time Joseph got put in a position that was something that was contrary to what he thought was supposed to be, like being in Potiphar's house, out of away from his, being, you know, thrown in the pit by his brothers, that wasn't God's will, right? No way, it couldn't be. But it was. And every time he got put in a pit of some kind that he didn't think he belonged in, it was injustice or whatever, you know, he learned how to yield his will to God in spite of it. And that's what God was trying to do, to teach him, was to yield his will to him in spite of everything. And that's why God kept taking him further and further away from what he thought the will of God was. Because it was all about teaching him how to yield his will to him. So when he got to that place, he would yield his will to him in such a way, he was a real yielder. He was the biggest yielder. Listen to this. Oh, my God, I just got this. He yielded. His yield on crops was huge. That's why his brothers can bow down to him, because his crops, their crops bow down to his. Like, and that means yield. Like, I used to farm. So the bigger yield your crops put out, the more successful you are, the more blessed. People realize, oh, man, he had a 100-fold yield, you know, and all the other ones had 50. Wow, he's blessed. So listen to this. Because Joseph went through all those things that seemed backwards to him, seemed wrong to him, what Satan found to destroy him, became the very thing where he yielded his will to the Father. He became the highest yielder in the land. He yielded the highest level of yielding. And because he was so yielded to Jesus, God used him in a mighty fashion. So let that preach to you, girl. That's amazing. All right. Andrika, $20 for ESW Auto Sales, $10 for Andrika, $10 for Chris, $10 for Tyreek, $10 for Torrey. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for ESW Auto Sales. Father, we ask you to bless and not curse, to bless. Yeah, in Jesus' name. And I just speak a blessing over your ESW as a that those who bless you will be blessed. Does this sound familiar? And those that curse you will be cursed. Oh, shokobawa. That's what he told Jacob, Israel. Those who curse you will be cursed, and those blessed will be blessed. So, Lord, I thank you for that Israeli blessing upon ESW Auto Sales. Yes, in Jesus' name, I speak that blessing, God, that those who bless ESW that will also be blessed. Amen. Those who curse will be cursed. In other words, those the curses can't, the people cursing things are just saying bad things about it. That they it can't work because it'll backfire on them, right? And those that bless you will be blessed. In other words, people get cars, they're going to feel blessed, and they're going to pass them on. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so $10 for Toray. Thank you, Lord, for Toray. God, we thank you, Jesus. Why do you speak the blessing of God over Toray? I speak the blessing of God that you multiply him, increase him, God. Just like you told Abraham about his children, you're going to multiply them as the sands of the seashore. Bless Toray, God. Increase him. Multiply him. Take the little that he has, God, and make it much. Show him that it just takes a little bit. You don't have to have a whole lot. You can take a little, and you be faithful and loyal with a little. God will make it much in Jesus' name. And Tyreek, God, we thank you for Tyreek. And just bless Tyreek tonight, God. I thank you, Jesus, for when you squeeze, when Tyreek gets squeezed, what's going to come out of him is going to be glory. What's going to come out of him is favor. What's going to come out of him is blessing. Like when Joseph was squeezed, what came out of him was, well, God always worked it out for good. Worked everything out for good. Lord, I thank you for showing Tyreek that as you trust you, God, that you will work everything out for good. Even his mistakes. We all make mistakes. Joseph made mistakes. People make mistakes. But God turned it all out for his good. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Satan never meant for evil. God meant it for good. So, Lord, I think for that blessing on Tyreek in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. And for Chris tonight, God, we thank you for Chris. God, I just thank you for an anointing, a breakthrough anointing on Chris, God, to break through things. Just breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Not broken. Not Torah, broke through, breakthrough, go to the other side, move to the other side. Move from you start out with something that you put out there by faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it's not seen, and it's just being hoped for. But when you finally get it, then you don't have to hope for it anymore. It becomes. So when once it becomes, then that's a breakthrough, and that breakthrough leads to another breakthrough that leads to another, from faith to faith to faith, from breakthrough to breakthrough to breakthrough, God, the breakthrough anointing on Chris. God, in the name of Jesus, that people will be jealous of his breakthrough moments. They will be jealous of his breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name, and drink it, God. I thank you for new things, all things becoming new, God, making things new. Take the old things, make them new. Take the old things, make them new. Take the old things, make them new. We have old thoughts. Old thoughts become new thoughts. We have old relationships. Old relationships get renewed. whatever is old, whatever's old, because you're gonna take what's old and make it new in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Renewal in the name of Jesus. To restore, a spirit of restoration. You know, when you restore something, you take this old house and make it into something new. I've been seeing a lot of houses lately that old beat up houses. All of a sudden, you drive by one day and they're tearing it down, keeping the same foundation, and building more foundation in the back. And all of a sudden, you got this big beautiful house, like a big beautiful house going on. That's just the old house. You can't even see. You can't even remember what the old house looked like barely. If you got a picture of it. Like that's called renewal. That's called restoration. Took the same foundations and added to it, but totally did the whole house completely different. And it's in the same place. It was old, but it's all of a sudden it's made new, and people can hardly remember even what it used to look like. So God, I thank you for that renewal, restoration, anointing in the name of Jesus. Make things new. Making things new. People say, oh, what's that old car? What's that old house? Oh, it looks new. Did you get a new one? No, same old one. That looks new to me. That making it look new anointing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Nikki and Charles, $65 building fund. Thank you, Lord. I want to meet Julie Livingston, the supernatural connection in Jesus' name. God, I just thank you for that. I thank you for that. in the name of Jesus, God, connections, connect, God. Make the two meet and become one. As you think, when the two meet, they become one. Let them become one and then meet. There you go. Let them become one in the spirit, even without even knowing each other, and then meet. And you think, like, don't I know you? Haven't I known you all my life? That kind of thing. In Jesus' name, and call favor and call a connection. A true connection is when you see him, you go, haven't I met you before? Don't I know you somewhere? No, we've never met, and everything. It's like that's what a real connection is. So let that be done, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And get the title to the house and the land. And in Jesus' name, let that come forth, Father, right now, by the power of God, to uncover that, to shake this thing. I see God shaking that thing in Jesus' name, so it can be loosened in Jesus' name. Sometimes God shakes things to loosen it in the name of Jesus. Let it be shaken to be loosened in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. Let's go here. Hallelujah. 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 Laughing, hallelujah, all the way to the bank. Laughing all the way to the bank, what is that? I love the prophetic, man. Ain't nothing like it. It's divine. I drink a new wine. It is divine. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. All right, hang on a second here. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Charles and Nikki, God. We thank you, God, for those breakthroughs, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Get the title of the house, the inspector, all that stuff. Unspoken request, God, we thank you, Lord, for the unspoken request, God, we thank you to make a way where there seems to be no way, where it seems to be, where things seem to be undone, like with Joseph, and everything seemed to be undone, going the wrong direction, God, I thank you, Lord, for taking it the right direction, God, for working in the middle of Satan, mean for evil, mean it for good, turn it for good, and for destiny a place of her own, as usually my declare and decree, God, make it, let her make you at a new level, that God, a place in her heart for you at a new level, at a new area, a new way. God, does that mean he expands my heart, or, you know, and I make God feel at home in that new things in my life for the new purposes, for the new things. He makes a way, you know, sometimes he's born in a manger, born in a poverty situation, but yet he's the king, he's the Lord. And we make a way for him. I see destiny making a way, and God making a way for her as she makes a way for him. As you make a way for the Lord, destiny, and God will make a way for you. That's the way God does me. Amen. Amen. All right. So Regina, $100 building fund. Pray for family and my niece, Leona. Thank you, Lord, for Leona, God. We thank you, Jesus. Father, for surprise blessing. Surprise her. Surprise Leona, God, or surprise everybody for surprise. Let Leona be blessed. Let her find herself surprisingly going, wow, look, something just panned out. Something's working out. Or something's happening. Something's changing. My life is changing. My body's changing. Things are changing. Things are changing. The way I see things are changing. And God, open her up. Open Leona up to how you can change things and rearrange things and do things. Hallelujah. Especially where there seems to be no way, make a way. In the name of the Lord, God Almighty, open up her heart and mind, Jesus, to rearrange things like you rearrange furniture. It's the same furniture, same house. You rearrange it, and it makes everything look completely different. Amen. It's a gift. Amen. Amen. And pray for the AAAs and her mom and dad. Jesus, we ask you to bless, cover, open up in Jesus' name. I just keep opening up blessing. Let the blessing spread. Let the anointing, let the joy, let the freedom, let the testimonies just spread the love. I see the love of God being spread like butter, like thick, heavy-duty, wonderful butter. Butter on the bread. Oh, I love butter on the bread. Oh, gosh, even though I have to eat gluten-free bread these days, a little butter on that bread. Oh, my. Jelly. Did I say jelly? I think I did. Healthy jelly. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, amen. In Jesus' name, Papa Shiki Gatuku, to spread the love, spread the butter, God, on the bread. We bind up the broken hearts. We bind up wounded hearts. We bind up damaged hearts. We bind them up and we heal them, Jesus. Let there be a binding of the heart and comforting and holding together and healing in Jesus' name. Continue the healing, God, the spreading the butter on the bread, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and bless Regina, God, give her courage, give her strength, God, to stand with you, and just simply stand in agreement. It's not about a lot of work, it's more about standing in agreement with the Lord. Like, you know, God holds the world together, but he uses us to just stand and agree. We don't hold the world together and everything, holding everything together. We stand in agreement with him. Some people kind of hold the world together, literally. You think if it wasn't for them, everything would fall apart. But really, the point is, yes, because people do learn how to stand with God, they are part of it all holding together. But God does it, but he uses us to come just simply in agreement. Wherever two more agree, as touching a matter, it shall be done. That right there, you can sit in your chair all your life and do that, so to speak. It's not about a bunch of work and labor and putting all things together, holding everything together. It's about coming in agreement in Jesus' name and then do what God says. All right, Donald and Tanya, $100 building fund. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For the confidence, God, the confidence in the midst of no confidence. When we have no confidence, let the confidence of God rise up. The more we don't have confidence in ourselves, but we have confidence in God. Lord, show, give Donald and Tanya the understanding and ability to know that having no confidence in yourself is important. Because our self doesn't have anything except what we have of Christ. But that means we put our confidence in Christ. So God, literally show them the tangible, literal way of how to not trust in themselves, but to trust in you, which means the trust level is amazing. Because the trust goes into, you know, I'm just going to open my mouth, I'm going to speak, I'm going to do, I'm going to trust God. If I stumble around, if I mess up, sometimes I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes I'm stumbling, messing up, not knowing where I'm going, flopping around. And people like sending me more text on stuff like that than they do when it flows out smoothly. We think the prophetic has everything has flowed so smooth and so that it's just sometimes when it's coming out of us, it just feels like it's flopping all over the place. But it just be God because he's taking a hold of our will and our mind and we're saying things we don't know what we're saying or we're talking about. We just say it and then you have to live with that. But that was what was hard for me for years. Living, I guess, there's a meeting like that, stumble around, flop around, man. Oh my gosh, you know. And the next day I'd be going, oh God, I can't believe, why couldn't I speak? I stumble, so why did I flop around? Oh my God. And then the testimonies from that meeting would be really cool. Yeah, it's amazing what we think, like Joseph thought, you know, he was getting further and further away from God and God's will. The whole time he was getting closer and closer and didn't even have a clue. That's the common way it's been with me. Sometimes when I flop around, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe it. It ends up being the best because, you know, God was like, you know, doing things, and I couldn't follow it very well, but I followed it just enough to get it out there and take it. And it ended up being just, you know, God. So God's showing you what real faith is and phony faith. Phony faith, think everything goes smooth. Real faith is simply just learning how to follow him and knowing you don't know where you're going. And follow him anyway. It's all about trusting him, trusting him, trusting him, trusting him. And then people say they do it, but then when it comes really to it in ministry, it's a whole different thing. You learn how to pass over. You learn how to pass into things. And it's never what people think it is. Hardly ever. Literally, hardly ever. You know, I talk about that a lot, but easier said than done. People still don't get it even when you tell them. until they get it. And now you guys are getting it. You're getting it, man. You got to get a willing vessel. That's all. God says not a perfect vessel, not everything together, not saying everything, doing everything, every perfect. It's about being a willing. Willingness is the answer to everything. Willingness is better than sacrifice. People spend all their life sacrifice. God doesn't give a rip about our sacrifice. It's about our willingness. Right? It's about our willingness to obey Him. Yeah. And willingness, hey, that's the best. That's the best. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In Jesus' name for you guys, amen. All right, Noelle gave $50. She sold some stuff on Facebook. $20, building fund, sold a box of DVDs. She goes, wahoo. She was so excited. She went, wahoo. And she sold $25 worth of Bohemian crystal set. Another sale, she says, an American doll set for $150. Wow, that was amazing. Sold a box of computer games, Facebook Marketplace, $25. So that's like 270 just from that. From about $50, I don't know $50 for it, but everything with the 50 was from the Facebook thing. So if you want to find out about that, she found a cool little thing, way to do things. And so if you want to find out about that, we'll get you in contact with her. She can show you how she did it. It's a really cool, really cool thing. So thank you for your Bohemian crystal set. She said, I saw my Bohemian crystal set. Hallelujah. That's cool. Really fun. It was fun to watch that. And thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you for Noel, God, through this thing of making giving fund, making thing that people, you know, kind of struggle with, making it fun, Noel, making things that are difficult to do fun, make them easy, make them, you know, help people stand alongside them to get them going so they can find the joy of things and get strategic about things and how to win and how to have fun at it and how to enjoy it, even though it's work and it's tough and God giving you wisdom to give to people on how to, you know, protect themselves and be protected and then be able to give to God, you know, even if you would have sold all that and only given, you know, $50 of that to God, it would have been amazing. But, you know, just amazing. And she was having a blast, what I could tell. So thank you, Jesus, for that, for Noel, making serving God an honor and a pleasure instead of, oh, God, you know, I got to do this now. So I thank you, Jesus, for I was talking with Donald and Tony about the willingness, sacrifices and offerings that God has no pleasure, but the willing heart, the obedient, the willing and obedient, and especially the willing part. And I thank you, God, for Noel releasing willingness. So as you do that in such a willing spirit, Noel, it's going to cause people to bless you in such a willing way. Because when people give begrudgingly, you know, like the Bible says, don't give begrudgingly. Because the reason he says do this is because when you give begrudgingly, then when people are going to bless you or you're going to get a raise, the boss goes very begrudgingly, yeah, I guess we're going to have to give her a raise now. Let's wait next month. Yeah. Begrudgingly wanting to do it. But when you do things willingly and you know, not begrudgingly, but willingly, then when it becomes time for the boss to give you a raise, yeah, her, get her, girl, a raise. We're going to give her a $5 raise. Let's give her a $10 raise. People become more willing because of the way you offer up, the way you do things, you reap it back with the same willing spirit. And it's really amazing. God showed me that 2 years ago. Really, really cool. Really, really cool. Amen and amen. All right. Well, that was awesome. It was just fun praying over you, man. It's like fun praying over this stuff. Kishe ka kamahude, shake it, rejected. God's injecting you. God's injecting you, Noel, with power. He's injecting you with willingness. He's injecting you. He's putting an injection of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Fire in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Put a fire into those people. Amen. In Jesus' name. I want to speak that over to God, with Andrika earlier. It surprised me to hear that. We're her business, but I'm going to speak this over you too, that those who curse you will be cursed, those who bless you will be blessed. A gospel from Israel. Amen. That's kind of a hard thing to say, but that's the Bible. So reap it. Inject it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jared Tensanisha. This whole flow, as I'm finishing up Noel's, praying over her, and I'm looking at the next people, which is Jared Tensanisha, and I'm thinking the same thing about them, like, that God, to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. You know, this is the third person I've prayed. I started with Andrika tonight. I don't know if I've ever prayed it over anybody tonight or not. I can't remember. I don't think I have. It's possible, but I can't think of it. So, and then it bleeds right off into Terrence and Tanisha, that those who bless you will be blessed, those who curse you will be cursed. I speak that blessing over you now in the name of Jesus. Now, cursing you is different than criticizing. Cursing you is like deliberately and willfully trying to take you down, deliberately and willfully trying to mess you up, deliberately and willfully trying to stop you, deliberately disagreeing with us or saying, they're not that much. That's not cursing us, right? You know that. So that thing about I speak the blessing over you that God spoke over Jacob. Whoever he spoke that over, I think it was Jacob when the angel spoke over him and spoke the blessing. It was Abraham. It started with Abraham. Of course, I should have known that. I think he did with all of them, actually. He said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So when he went to Egypt, when Abraham went to Egypt and he told Sarah on the way, he said, hey, Sarah, honey, they're going to think that you're beautiful because you are. They're going to think you're absolutely gorgeous. And I know men, they're going to want you and they're going to kill me to get you. Because I know men, that's what they'll do. And you want you to be my half-sister. So God already told him, those who bless you, I'm going to bless, those who curse you, I'm going to curse you. So sure enough, they came and they liked her and they got her in the, you know, Pharaoh's palace over there. And, you know, nobody had done anything with her yet, married her, had, you know, sexual relations with her, but they were thinking about it. She was really beautiful, you know, like I want this woman to have my babies and everything. But all of a sudden the whole crew became, you know, in the Pharaoh's camp became, nobody could give birth. All of a sudden there were no more children being born. What's up with that? And they finally realized that it was a curse. And they think, where did this curse come from? And so, you know, they found out. They figured it out, man. It was very smart. That's coming because this is, we got Abraham's wife in here. And so, you know, they feared God. That's amazing that they feared God. You read it, and you see that the Egyptians feared God. Those particular did. And so when they approached him about that, Abraham about that, they said, why didn't you tell us the truth, man? He said, well, I didn't think you feared God, which they did. I didn't think you feared God. I try to protect myself. She really is my half-sister, but you have to look at this thing. Now, look at this. This is amazing. I saw this today, Terrence and Tanisha. The financial blessing of this was that even though he did that, it was a setup because God used it so that the king would think that Abraham and Sarah are sister and brother. So now that he is his sister, listen to this, his sister is now in the kingdom and one of the beauties of the kingdom, and everybody, the king, you know, the Pharaoh really likes her and wants to, you know, so when you're you know, when your sister is there and you let them take her and, you know, they're going to take her anyway. So they're going to take care of you. They gave him cattle. They gave him horse. They gave him everything. He walked out of Egypt because of that compromising thing he said. Ended up, they blessed him because, one of the reasons, they blessed him twice. The first reason they blessed him because he's part of the royal family. Oh, that's Sarah's husband. We got to take care of, give him some stuff. They gave him lots of stuff. And then when they found out that it was his wife, they gave him a whole lot more stuff. So God used it. You see what I'm saying?
he used it, even though they were cursed and it was Abraham's fault, sort of. At the same time, it's like he got so blessed, number one, because he was now part of the royal family, and his sister was one of the favorites in the royal family. They blessed him. They blessed him with stuff. And then when they found out that it was really his wife and should have been ticked off and done something, no, they blessed him more, gave him more stuff. So it's like, I saw it today for the first time. Y'all, I mean, I was like going, you know, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And the only person I gave that to tonight was you guys. Like for some reason, I don't know what. But I just got that today. That was really awesome. I've never seen that before, how God worked out financial blessing and blessings for them with Abraham's half-truth, which it really was half-truth. And then when they found that, then they blessed him even more. And then he walked out of Egypt very blessed. And the Egyptians were having Abraham pray. So they walked out with a reputation, right? When they walked out, everybody goes, man, that dude was powerful, man. Our whole kingdom was cursed. Somebody can have babies. Who is that guy? He was awesome. So the whole thing, God just worked it out amazing and made it amazing. Amazing. They walked out with money. Even though he halfway lied to the Pharaoh, and should have gotten trouble over it. No, he got blessed because of it. That's how God turned it around. So, I mean, thank you for that $246 and then that $26 for building fund. Bless you for that. And I just see that. I don't know. I just see that with you guys. Something about that. Maybe that's why I got that today was for you guys. I was going to revelate on that, teach on it, but as I'm giving it, you guys, the word, man, that's what I'm hearing. It's like, my Lord and my God, that's amazing. Jesus, we give you the glory. Hallelujah. Plakasawa. Bless them, Jesus. Increase them and multiply them. Give them favor. Even when they do things like Abraham did, I think that might have been a strategy God had. And I'm thinking about it completely different now. Then I got a little revelation. I'm thinking it's completely different than he lied. I'm thinking more like it was even though he was compromised to a certain degree, it was God's strategy to get him double blessed. He got blessed for being part of the royal family. His sister was in the royal family now. Pharaoh loved her. His sister, so-called sister, he blessed him. They blessed him for that. And then they blessed him when he found out it was his wife. It's like, oh, my God, like it was a strategy for God almost. I'm changing my mind a little bit on how I look at that. And, wow, what an amazing thing. I mean, look at the money you walked out with that. Situation. It was amazing. And I just bless you guys with that in the name of increase you and multiply you. Amen. As the stars of heaven, the sands of the seashore. Woo! Dear God. Also, we had $350 come in for the match. I've already talked about it before, but they're repeating again. So that was added to that. $350. Match money. All right, Nicole. All right, Nicole gave $9.10 more, so 9/10, September the 10th or something, or 9/10. Well, I don't know what that is. It's supposed to be some type of thing you believe in God for, a date or something, or something going on. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I don't know. I just saw your offering there and looking at the information. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for your favor, God, with Nicole, God. You're giving her favor right now. Favor always comes to Nicole because God has something he wants to do. He wants done. So in order to get supernatural things done, he has to give you supernatural favor, right? So we have regular favor and we have supernatural favor. So when God gets ready to do something, like, you know, I think he's going to do with the building, and it's my personal thing. I think he's going to do a supernatural thing there, supernatural favor. You know, we have regular favor, then we have supernatural favor, because it's about he has a purpose for that. Just like you, the things with you, God giving you supernatural favor, he's going to give you supernatural favor because it's a purpose to get the purposes of God done. Amen. When we start yielding to God, God starts giving us supernatural favor, because that's what it takes. You know, if we could do it ourselves, then, you know, hey, you know, but when it takes God, that's supernatural favor. So when we line up with that and God shows us and we line up with him, then he imparts supernatural favor and that thing is done in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's for his purposes, for his will. Okay.
Yes. Okay, don't let me forget. I saw that text coming just now. Who is this? Who is this 760? Who am I talking to? We'd love to play for you. Just let me know who you are. Oh, Jessica. Okay, Jessica, yes. All right, we would love to play for you. It's never too late. As long as we got time, as long as it's not 1 o'clock and the show goes off, not even quite 12 yet, so we're doing good. All right, so there you go, Nicole. So bless that, open that in Jesus' name. Break it open, break the seal on that in Jesus' name. All right, Shannon, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Let me see what you got going on in prayer requests. I'm sure somewhere here. All right, Shannon, okay. Pray for my wife, please, financial success, and that these will happen soon. Amen. Yeah, you know, happening soon has to do with our obedience to God, as you know. So I know you're working on that all the time, just like I am. I thank you, Jesus, for that. We just bless him tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for making that way, for making a way. Show them how to obey you. Willingness is better than sacrifice. Willingness is better than sacrifice. So, Lord, I thank you for that willingness, that willing spirit to obey you, not out of dread, not out of fear, but out of, you know, love and willingness. And Shannon, God, for his wife and for the whole thing, to the will of God to be worked out, for the perfect will of God to be worked out. In the name of Jesus, open that divine appointment for him, Father, that divine appointment. Amen, because when God gives you favor to do something, it's just done, man. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just done. Yeah, it just happens. It's just a done deal. Okay, hang on a second. I'm not through yet. Oh, 2222222. I love it. I want some more of it, Jesus. 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 Yeah. All right. Pray over Greg. Thank you, Jesus. Greg from Arizona, and my brother. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Father, for the fancy things. The fancy things. I don't know if you're a fancy person. I'm not a fancy person, but, you know, fancy things. I don't want fancy. I don't really care for fancy things. If God gives it to me, I'll take them, but I'm not really going to have. I'm really very content with whatever. But, you know, fancy things. God, I just thank you for bringing my brother into the fancy things realm where, you know, that's what you want to do for him. Show him you want to give him fancy things. Fancy stuff. High quality stuff. High quality, moving into a higher quality that you, in his brain, in his thinking, in his will, in his mind, he starts thinking high quality. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that and for opening that up to him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And storm the gates. God's going to show you how to storm the gates. Storm the gates of heaven. Storm the gates of hell. In Jesus' name. So when you storm the gates of hell, you do one way. When you storm the gates of heaven, you do a whole different thing. Amen. And so for storming the gates, for opening up, I see God opening up the gate. He wants to open up the gate, not just a door, Greg. He wants to open up a gate. A gate is something, you know, huge, big. Like, you know, when they want to let a lot of cattle out or let a lot of things, you know, they open up the gates. You open up a door, you can't already get things through the door. But God's opening up the gates for you. He wants you to start thinking gates, not doors, not a door opening. Just say, God, open up a door for me. Don't say that anymore necessarily. But they open up the gates, God. Open up the gates of your glory. In Jesus' name, open up the gates. Open up ye gates. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Like Bill Gates. I mean, you know, we don't agree with a lot of his stuff, but look at his name. Bill Gates, like Big Gate. Yeah. So gates, think of gates, doors opening. I mean, the gates opening, like, you know, like doors opening, gates opening. I can't even get it right. Help me, Jesus. Like doors opening, except gates opening. You know, double wide gates in Jesus' name. Just his expectation, God, let his expectation go higher. And Jesus, sometimes God doesn't give us things that we're looking too small. He said, I don't want to give that to you. That's too small. What do you think? I want you to do that? No, I don't want get you that big thing going on, bro. Get the big thing. The big thing. I ain't gonna bring you some. I ain't gonna enter that small stuff. You know, I want you to think big. It's like leaving the studio thing, Greg. The whole thing is bigger than what I mean, it's, you know, so it, but it has a divine purpose to it. It's God's going to do it. I just, you know, I don't, somehow, some way, I don't know how. It's not going to happen because it's, there's a divine purpose in it, in Jesus' name. He's going to shine his lights. The whole place is a bunch of chandeliers. This is even more confirmation. Chandeliers everywhere. I'm talking about, you know, different kinds of chandeliers, but the chandelier, actually called chandeliers, because it's a place for weddings to be done. And these light fixtures that are chandeliers, and they're everywhere. It's like, I don't know, 50, 75, bunches of them. I don't know how many exactly, but a bunch. Yeah. So fancy. Think bigger. God's hoping he's expanding your mind. You can use your full brain, bro. Hey. Jesus, loosen that bad call. Open it up, God. Let me not be afraid to think big. Well, if I think too big, I'll never get anything. No, it's the other way around. You can get it on your own, and it's little, and then, hey, it's not. Hey, God wants to make it big, or God has to get it for you. Can't get it yourself, no matter how hard you try. That's what he wants. He wants us to be the faith of Christ, not, you know, our little fiddly thing. God. Amen. All right, Michael, $1.05. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, bless him, God. Increase him, multiply him, God. Teach him how to fish. You teach him how to give. Giving to God. We give to God. You're not giving to Randy. You're not giving to PGN. It comes through PGN. It comes through Randy, but it's given to God. Lord, you teach him, Michael, how to give to God. Giving to God. In Jesus' name, giving to God. Giving to God. Just say it, Michael. I'm giving to God. Here it is, my 2 pence. May not seem like much, but you see things, you may, and Lord, just magnify, and bless and increase in God. In the name of Jesus, multiply his blessing, Father. Amen and amen. All right, Jeff and Yuki, special present for Prophet Randy, $223.26. Man, that's awesome. Except, you know, I hate to say what I'm going to do. I'm going to just give it to the ministry. How can I do that? You don't mind. 20, you know what 22 means, right? Twos is Isaiah 22, which I give people. It talks about the treasures of the house of David. The treasures of the house of David, when David gave to the household of God, it was a massive amount of money. He had a massive amount. He was so favored. David was so favored. He had a lot of stuff. He took down a lot of Philistines. He was a great victor in the war. He won a lot of war. He had a lot of booty. And he kept that booty for the treasury of the house. Well, he didn't keep for himself. He kept for the house, treasury of the house. And when he found out Solomon could build the temple, you know, God wanted him to build the temple for Solomon to build. He had this money stacked up and saved up for it. I mean, it was a massive amount of money and the treasures of the house. There's still 22 means. So as you bless me with that, I'll take it. And treasures for the house of God. Amen. Because the house of God is blessed, I'm blessed. If it's going, we get our studio, you know, I'm more happy having that than I would, you know, I'd pitch a tent outside there and live there if I had to. That's just what matters to me. That's what it really is what matters to me. Call it whatever you want. That's what matters to me. So I thank you, Jesus, for Jeff and you, God. We just thank you for that very special present for me. Thank you. God bless you. And I receive it. And I just offer up as a treasure for the household of God, for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless them, bless them, bless. Bless Jeff, bless you, God. Open their hearts up. Open them up to the treasures of heaven, to the favor of God. Rain down manna. Manna is provision from the heaven. God, rain down manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel for food, because if they had killed their cattle to eat, which they did have cattle and sheep, if they had killed them, they wouldn't have had any cattle and sheep left, because there were so many of them, they would have eaten all their cattle, so they couldn't eat them, right? So they're like going, we got plenty of meat around here, but we can't eat any of it, because if we do, we don't have any left. So God had to rain down manna for them. Manna was God's provision. And so I thank you, Lord, for the provisions raining down from heaven upon Jeff and you, God. Bless, 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 bless in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let your glory resonate in them, God. Let it resonate. Let them, you have been made for the glory. You have something inside you that vibrates when the glory of God, when God does something, his glory in you is that glory belongs to God. Like something in you vibrates. Like that's what you get blessed by. That's what blesses you. You are made to bless God. You are made to be a blessing. You are made to be blessed by God. You're made for that. You guys are made for that in Jesus' name. So I just thank you, God, for letting it be, confirming it, making it solid, making it complete in Jesus' name. Amen. When we start dreaming the dreams for God's house, God brings our dreams to pass. We don't even have to try to make it happen. It just happens because we're dreaming. We're dreaming the dreams of God. What does God dream of? Like with David, the house of God. He saved up all that money. The treasures of the house of David, which is Isaiah 22:23, the keys to the house of David, had to do with the ability to take that wealth and use it for God. That's all I care about. Honest to God, as far as those things. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all of those things will be added to you. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I think number 760, Jessica from California. Thank you, Jessica. We just bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the connections you have for God. Let her be willing to be used by you, to be a connector. When we become Jessica, when we become willing to be a connector for God, then God connects us. Okay, God, who can I connect to Jesus? Who can I connect to God? Who can I connect to something that they need in the business world? Who can I connect to food? Get by on a meal. Connecting people to things. Connecting people to food. If they need a sandwich or they need food or they need a dollar or they need money, they need something. Connecting people. God's showing you how to tap into the connection, the connectivity of God, so that you can get, because once you get connected, it's like anybody else. So once you get connected to the White House and the White House favored you, then everybody goes, oh, they got favored with the White House. We better put them to work. We better get them. You know, we better help them because they're connected to the White House. See, when people find out you're connected, so getting connected is the biggest thing you can think of. Like I could say, seek ye first to be connected to the kingdom of God. And even though we're connected in salvation, we have to learn how to be connected, you know, be used as a vessel of connection. So that's what giving to the poor. It's what is connecting people with food, helping people with information like I do. It's giving. It's connecting. Yeah, so to connect people, hallelujah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Jeff says, just realized today is the 22nd. Yeah, I didn't think about that either. I didn't even think about that. I'm glad you caught that. 4 divided by 2 is 2. Yeah. It's April, you know, 4th of April, 4/22. Awesome, man. Yeah, there's something about that. Jeff, that is really, really, that's really right. That's really right. I didn't think about today being the 22nd. It's about to be the 23rd, too, so you caught that just in time. It's about to be the 23rd. In fact, it may be the 23rd now.
So you barely got that, man. You came under the radar just barely. But it is, at least in my time, it's right now. It just turned 23rd. So you caught that just in time. Yeehaw, I love it. All right, so Jessica, yeah, come on now. That's God's teaching you. It's like, you know, we can take people fishing or we can teach them how to fish. So we can teach people, we can get people connected by giving them connection stuff, or we can teach them how to get their own connections, right? By connections, by connecting, by, you know, like I said, I connect people to information from the Lord. That's what I do. So because I do that, I get connected with things I need. I connect people with food. We do that also. PGM does that. We help the poor and the needy. Those who cannot help themselves, we help those who cannot help themselves. And so we do that because what I do, God helps me, you know, when I can't help myself. So you see what I'm saying? I'm connecting this, the connection thing. When you can connect that and realize, what can I connect people to, you know, be a blessing to them? What are you doing? You're connecting God to them. You're connecting something they need. And helping them get it. Connections. Connections are everything. And if you had connections with, you know, a multi-billionaire, and I mean, when I say connected, I'm talking about really connected, not just know them or shake their hand or go to the house for dinner once a year. No, I'm talking about connected to them means there you are connected. You need something, they're going to help you with it. That's connected, what I'm talking about connected. Yeah. So thank you, Jesus, and bless her, God. Open her up. Show her how to fish in the connection realm, and let those connections be blessed of you, God, in Jesus' name. Open that up right now by the power of God. And because if I can teach you how to connect to things, then you don't need me to connect you necessarily. You know, I have my own realm where I connect people that nobody else can connect like I connect, and you can connect like nobody else can connect. Each individual person can connect like nobody else can connect. It all has our own fingerprint on it, right? So it's important that you learn that and you get that, and so God can multiply and increase you and give you, connect you with the people that you need to be connected with. Like, find ways to connect people with things they need, with people that they need, with information that they need. When you start doing that, God will start connecting you with people, with finances, whatever you need. It's huge, really big with God. Hope that helps a little bit. All right, y'all. Okay. She says, amazing, you're a fire. You're a fire. I'm a fire lighter. Noel says, you're a fire lighter. I'll take that. Hoping it lights other little fires. Yes, what's in first text to you today? Candles. Oh, really? You text the word about candles? Where is that at? In your first text today? Oh, there it is. Perfect. Hoping it lights other little fires. You did. Oh, my gosh. That's right below mine saying, you did. Awesome. You're welcome, Jessica. All right. Jessica? Yeah, Jessica. You're welcome, Jessica. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Noel, you're right. I went back and looked at that. That's cool. Yeah. But we'll keep talking about it. Sometimes you have to keep repeating it because some people listen to the show tomorrow. Awesome, man. All right, cool, man. This is awesome. Okay, I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight unless anybody else needs them. I see Christina on there with her hand up. Let's pray for her. Thank you for Christina, God. And thank you, Lord, for the enabler, the ability to enable, like, of enabling you to do this, like empowering somebody, enabling. Let me look at the word enabling. Enable meaning.
Enable means to give someone or something the authority or means to do something. There it is. That's the word I got for you, Christina, if you're still listening to enable means to give someone or something the authority or means to do something. The evidence would enable us to arrive at a firm conclusion. Okay, that's an example it shows. All right, so enable, what does enable mean? To make something possible, to enable. The usual distinction between allow and enable is that allow means to not prohibit something, to let it happen, to remove any constraint that would prevent something from happening. And enable means to make something possible. So enable and allow are two different things, they're saying. Allow means to allow it, don't prohibit it from happening. Enable means to empower them to do it, make it possible. Christina, that's what I'm hearing all the time. Awesome. How do I enable? I'm just looking at this. I'm Googling this stuff, right? Insulin enables your body to use and store sugar. Enabling. I'm looking at the word enabling. To make someone or something able to do or be something, to make something possible, practical or easy, technical. That's kind of what I'm talking about with Noelle tonight. She make it, help you make it practical and easy to do some things. To cause a feature or capability of a computer to be active or available for use. Hey, that's what I got. Enabler. Wow, cool. All right, y'all, I think that's it for the night. Awesome, we're really good. It's only midnight now, but we have to pray for a lot of people. It's fun. It's such a blast to do. I just love it, as you can probably tell. I'm like a little kid in a candy store. When I start getting stuff, it truly excites me to the hilt. I get extremely overcome with excitement. It's just so much fun. I just love it. I'm so grateful to God. I'm thankful. Came with you in the studio. We're going to start, be able to interview people more. It'll be more of an invitive thing. People are going to want to come more. It's just going to be a beautiful place. Looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. Amen. God's going to do it. It's going to happen. In Jesus' name, it is done. I call it done right now tonight. In Jesus' name, done. Done deal. All right. God bless everybody and getting your deals done too. Amen. Hallelujah. You can answer a prayer, like be a provider. God uses you to provide an answer to somebody. Take them a loaf of bread and they go like, oh, wow, I just prayed about that. It can be an answer of prayer. And God will answer your prayers. Amen. It's amazing how we become providers. God uses us to provide and help people. Amazing. All right. God bless everybody. See you later. Bye-bye. Later.